That.
And welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show.
Oh, that's good.
www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron Show. You can like us on Facebook, and please do me a favor and go to iTunes if you like or don't like the show and give us a review. I'd love your reviews, even if you hate us.
Yeah.
If you hate us, write the most scathing review ever, though. Just don't write a sentence that's like, you guys suck.
Right.
Get into it.
Get into it.
Let us know how we suck. Let me know everything that sucks about me.
It's not the content I find disturbing. It's the lack of subtext. Write something like that.
I am Matthew Aaron, and my special guest today, my co-host, straight
Freitas.
From Say Yes to the Dress.
No, it's a different program called Say No to the Ho.
Oh, sorry.
Lee Capreas, hello.
Okay, I got to tell you, let's start out with Twitter real quick. I want to talk about Twitter, because last night Judd Apatow was asking for what are some of the hip new podcasts I should be listening to, or the great podcasts, he said.
What are all the kids listening to?
And we had a couple fans tweet him and say the Matthew Aaron Show, and I want to thank our fans for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Some of them included us with other shows like Jay Moore's, whatever. But okay, cool. So here's the thing. So I'm like, yeah, Judd, check out our show. And I tweeted him. Then I noticed every show was tweeting him, saying, come on our show.
Oh.
So I tweeted him again, and I go, you know what? I feel like a chode now for asking you to come on our show because everyone else is doing the same thing.
Right.
So fuck me.
Well, you don't
and
have
he
to...
favorited the tweet.
Yeah, right.
he did.
He favorited the fuck me tweet.
He favorited the I'm a chode tweet.
Oh, man.
So I must have made him laugh thinking I'm a chode.
Or he just thinks you're a chode.
No doubt.
No.
Zero doubt in my mind of
but
that.
But your legions stuck up for you, I have to say.
Well, they stuck up for me before that tweet.
Our legions of basement dwelling.
When I said I'm a chode, all my legions probably felt like they were chodes, so they didn't say anything.
Okay.
They go, wait, if he's a chode, then I must be a bigger chode
I know.
For listening
they
to
got
the
out
chode.
Of the basement, had another Mountain Dew Code Red, and thought to themselves.
Well, speaking of Mountain Dew Code Red, we got to talk about this. I'm addicted to this Max Payne. I don't think it's the best game of the year. I'm still addicted to Mafia 2. Red Dead Redemption, I'm getting into, you're getting into.
Yeah, I'm big into Red Dead.
I think the story mode of Max Payne is good, but I think it still could be better. However, the multiplayer is incredibly Call of Duty-esque addictive.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I have been playing that all night, all morning.
Yeah, those shoot dodges, man. A slow motion.
I'm
love that stuff.
I'm getting used to the shoot dodge, all right? I'm getting used to the shoot dodge. I got bullet time down.
Yeah, you got...
Bullet time I got down because I'm on my ass and I'm like, bullet time. All right. So, last night, you and I go to GameStop for the midnight release of Max Payne 3. So we go there, we drive after watching my Dinner for Fives.
Uh-huh.
Which, by the way, if you haven't seen Dinner for Five, it's this great little show Jon Favreau used to do on IFC. And by the way, I think Jon Favreau is very underrated as a host. I think he did a great job
with
this series.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great show, I think. If you like seeing actors and directors and comedians and entertainers and whoever's just bullshit. And it's four people that get together with John. Mm-hmm. And they just have conversation for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And there's some really good stuff. There was the Carrie Fisher one we saw. I couldn't get enough of the Jimmy Kahn one.
That was great.
And our favorite one, I think both of us agree on.
Dom DeLuise, Peter Falk, yeah. Richard Lewis.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Very good.
And John Hertzfeldt got in there somewhere. Yeah. That's one of those WTF invites.
Right.
You get that team together, and then John Hertzfeldt's in the corner.
Well,
2 days in the valley was great.
I'd like to think we learned a little bit about hosting a conversational show in an eating environment from that show.
Well, I tweeted Jon Favreau yesterday, and
hey.
I said, thank you for letting me steal your show. Oh, here's the man now. Mr. Carnahan's here.
What's up, fellas?
Yeah, he's already. But
so we should finish the story.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And
Joe Carnahan's
here. You
could
join in. So we go to the midnight release.
I know.
We go to the midnight release of Max Payne 3 last night. I get my nerd on, okay? And literally, I think I said I'm getting my nerd on. You were making a comment about last
night. Yeah, because there were 10 other nerds standing in the line, and they're all looking back at us now. And we get in there, and they have they have little trays of pasta and shit.
They had a buffet. Yeah, in the
video game store.
Penne, little raviolis.
And they're really like trying to get you to eat it. And I'm like, no, I ate at another video game store. Yeah. Thank you.
I ate at Claire's when I was buying earrings.
Right.
I ate a couple burgers.
What the fuck would possess them to lay out?
I don't know, but tell them about
the guy. So the guy there is not only trying to get you to eat the food. He's also managing like two people in the store when two leave, so it's not overcrowded and people are jacking shit. But he's like, he's British, but he's British in a way that made me think that he was an actor and he wasn't really like, you know, I don't know if he was British.
He was British. He wasn't a manager though. He was just an hourly wage guy.
He was overseeing the rush for
He's got to be an actor.
He had that British accent, bro. So he immediately put you ill at ease.
Yes,
he immediately felt inferior.
Yes.
Well, he had that nasally Robin Leach type of British accent.
I thought he was smarter and funnier than me right away.
Yeah, right. But he was describing the food. He's like, take it. It's got onions and cream and ricotta cheese. Like,
I'd make it with sherry.
Like, he made it. Yeah,
he goes,
right.
I'd make it with sherry.
He's talking about how to improve the food.
Oh, so he's also slagging the food
off.
He's
critiquing
Pomodoros.
Meanwhile, he's overseeing the midnight release of Max Payne 3.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And then we go home, we play Max Payne. I've been addicted to it all night. I got 4 hours of sleep. I woke up. I was jamming to it this morning.
Uh-huh.
It's my new Call of Duty. It's my Modern Warfare.
Now, what's the years between the last Max Payne and this one? It's been a couple
years. It's the Wahlberg movie. Because that's what the Wahlberg movie was
suffered.
Based on,
and to me, it suffered because that title is not as current as it could have been
when they made that film. But Rockstar took over the series. And Rockstar made this third game. And if you buy this game, it's going to go with Grand Theft Auto 5, where you can play the maps on both games and multiplayer.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
Right, it is brilliant. That's why I was telling Lee yesterday. I go, what a brilliant fucking move.
That's great
really
idea.
Smart.
Yeah, because now I have to invest in Grand Theft Auto 5.
They're building a universe, basically.
Right. So I don't know if you're into video games, Joe.
I am. I just played about a month ago, I guess they have this elite XP thing, the Call of Duty.
Yeah, wasn't invited.
I played against Rampage in this thing called Friday Night Fights.
Wow.
And got my ass kicked.
You and Jackson
through the
going
room.
At it?
Me and
for
Rampage.
For people that don't know, Rampage Jackson.
Rampage Jackson, by the way, I'm going to get on your show, man. You'd
He's
love
great.
Him. He's funny as shit.
He's great.
But he basically, this is what I love about Rampage. Three kids from North Carolina that found him online became his team, right? These kids had never set foot out of out of Podunk, wherever, you know.
Did they know he was Rampage Jackson?
Oh, they knew he was Rampage Jackson. They found him. This Rampage
his
is so
handle
cool.
is Rampage Jackson.
Yeah, he flies them. He flies them out to compete in this thing. These kids have never been to L.A. in their life. Flies them out, puts them
ringers.
Up, shows them the talent, and they're ringers, and they kick the living shit out of us.
Who was on your team? You probably got the celebrity team.
No. I had guys. I was actually my brother's like prestige like five times in that game.
Wow.
Your brother Matthew?
My brother Matt, my screenwriter brother. This is what he does. He writes screenplays for Ridley Scott and Brad Pitt, and then he plays fucking Call of Duty. He acts like he doesn't do
my
it,
life.
But that's what he does.
Mine is the Ridley Scott.
Exactly. So he had prestige, and I wanted to get him out. He couldn't do it. So then my assistant, my old assistant, Evan, who's now writing a script for Fox, I pulled him in. We had a guy from William Morris, Tom, who was our ringer, and then my cousin Ryan, who, by the way, I'm sitting in Binder's place, the biggest Red Wings fan on the planet. He's such a big Red Wings fan. He sucks that hard at call. I threw him out. I threw him out. But here's the interesting thing, and this is what I found on After Effects. There's a guy named Fwiz, who's like apparently a big
Fwiz.
He's a quote unquote professional gamer, right?
Yeah.
He was this kind of cool guy, you know, kind of whatever. And I found he was shit talking us after the fact, which I can't believe. What's like, Fwiz? What
after
bro?
You left Wait. Or what?
And he's like one of these glad handing, like this guy's worse than fucking Hollywood guy. He's like,
he's shit talking gamer.
He's shit talking. He's a professional gamer. Which, by the way, it's like Fwiz. You go up against my 15-year-old kid in Call of Duty, you'll get your ass, kicked. He was it was like, but I think he got pissed because we weren't that good. But yet, he was being overwhelmed by these three kids from North Carolina. And it's like, listen, if you're a professional gamer and you get your clock clean, you ain't going to be a professional gamer that long.
No.
But it was interesting. But anyway, the long answer to a short question, yes, I love video games. But I get hooked on them and I just burn.
You got to try the Max Payne 3. The other one I love is Mafia 2. It's underrated in my opinion.
Really?
Great
you said,
story.
You said Mafia
great
2 is a better story. Yeah.
Great. That's a movie.
See, my favorite is probably the Gears of War series.
Love
I love like
Gears
those
of War.
Amazing.
So you got Xbox.
You're yeah, not, I got the
I'm
Xbox.
A PS3 guy.
So you're PS3. See,
I was an Xbox guy, but I switched.
And I played, what the hell was I playing for PS3, which I really loved? God, I can't remember. It was not the Godfather games. But maybe it was the Godfather, but it was back away.
Godfather and there's Mafia 2. They're
Mafia
both 2. Like the kind of same thing.
Yeah. I'm a big shooter. If I can get shooters and sports games, that's it.
You
got
to try Max Payne. Because the multiplayer is where it's at. I bet your son will love it. Try that. Do that.
That's all he needs is to fucking waste
more
adolescence.
It's summer. It's summer.
No, I know.
Yeah.
His entire year is summer.
Play video.
Yeah, exactly. He's 15. I concentrate on that. Let's get laid.
Yeah, right.
Let's get laid first. And then video games way down the mountain in terms of...
you get rid of the V card priority. Or you get a GameStop card.
But by the way, I also want to say the gray is... The Gray is out on Blu-ray today.
Yes, it is.
Caesar bought, my producer, he bought two copies of it this morning.
Good for you, brother.
I don't know. He's buying two. I don't know. In case one wears out.
No, I said it's just, a natural disaster, animal attack, power outage, stock market crash, car accident. You never know what's going to happen. You should have multiple copies.
But the other thing I wanted to bring up was I'm a Laker fan because I live in the town. I don't know if they're my favorite team.
Why aren't you a Clipper fan because you live in town?
I like Clippers, too.
Right.
But I'm a Bulls fan. I'm a Bulls guy. But
right.
The Lakers,
you,
I love.
Okay? I know.
I love the Lakers too. But they're awful. And here's
you
why
mean the
awful.
Lakers like that what they did last night against OKC.
The worst thing
the
ever.
Worst.
Well, no, it's almost as bad as the last time that before they beat OKC, they played San Antonio.
Yeah. Oh man.
And that was terrible.
I mean, here's the problem. Here's my thing with the Lakers. Kobe is a killer, and I can't help but love that guy. I think Bynum is one of the biggest punk bastard. Jerk off douchebags walking the earth.
I agree.
And he's just one of these guys. He looks entitled.
That seems to be an idiot.
And you know
had
what?
A great quote on Twitter about what do you think?
Million dollar head, $1 million talent, 10 cent head.
10 cents.
It's like Ryan Leaf years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning came out in the draft at the same time. I remember distinctly Jim Rome calling Ryan Leaf Superman.
I know.
And Peyton Manning Don Knotts. I'll never forget that.
I know.
And it's like, look who has the Hall of Fame career.
Jim,
he's going to be making $28 million next year.
Jim's missed a few. He's missed a couple.
Don Knotts is not the worst thing you can be called.
Yeah, no, should he call him Mr. Limpet? Like, what's wrong with that?
No, Don Knotts is great.
You're Mr. Farley. Was it Mr. Furley? Was it Mr.
Furley?
Mr. Furley,
yeah. Mr. Furley. And, but the Lakers, they next year, because they're going to lose this series in three. It's best of seven, but they're going to lose in three.
You know what's
That's how bad it is.
I was listening to Colin Cowherd, and he's saying the same thing. He's saying, better to go out fast, because then it's definitive. It's like, it's almost like punctuation. It's like, oh, we suck.
Yeah,
and
it'll get Mitch Kupchak to go, okay, first of all, they got to go $20 million to get under the cap anyways.
Yeah.
So Pau Gasol's probably gone.
No, Gasol's gone because I think Pau's too hit and miss, man.
Yeah.
He's too like, he's
$20
million
a year.
In a game six, you can't put up 3 points and three four. It just can't do it.
Man. I agree. I was bitching. I bitch about him a lot.
I know you
Lee
did.
Knows.
Well, no, but do you think they're even going to get one game off against Oklahoma?
They will.
I still think they're going to lose in five.
Okay.
I said to you the other night, losing five, and you said the same thing. We agreed on that.
I think they may take one, but I think even Kobe in his post-game comments said, listen, that team's too young and too fast.
Yeah.
He said, we could have had 5 days rest. It doesn't matter.
Durant's a beast.
Yeah. Harden's a beast.
Harden's.
And I think the thing is, the key maybe to the Lakers even hanging that series long is, I think Westbrook is rattled easily.
Yeah.
I think you can climb into that kid's head because it's right there.
Right.
And if you can knock him off his game a little bit,
well,
I think you got
the
a shot.
The game we beat them in L.A. a couple weeks ago, he had 0 points. He went like 0-13 from the field.
He gets rattled, man.
Yeah,
right. But if he's not rattled,
right.
That guy's a sick freak, man.
Right,
with unbelievable speed. Absolutely.
Tough on D.
Now, who I feel sorry for is the goddamn Heat. LeBron James cannot catch a break.
No.
If Chris Bosh is gone for the series,
I know.
I don't know if they get out. I mean, listen, they better hope the Sixers beat the Celtics because I think they match up against the Sixers a lot better.
The Celtics, man, I think you got problems.
As old as Garnett and Allen and Paul Pierce is banged up.
That team's
matter.
A workhorse.
Rajon Rondo is a terrible, terrible talent. I mean, that guy is a sick, sick freak.
Yeah.
So
Garnett and Rondo have been and Garnett surprisingly has been playing like 5 years younger in the playoffs.
Yeah, he has,
here.
Man.
Right.
He has.
And Rondo is just he's awesome.
He's awesome.
There's nothing you can do about the guy.
No.
He's just that good.
And he's going to get his touches. He's going to get his points. And if he's on, that's a tough team to beat, man.
Yeah.
I don't care how old they are, how banged up they are. It's a tough team to beat.
No, I agree. But you're a Kings fan, right?
I am a fucking Kings fan. I'm not going to be a Kings fan if they go to Anaheim. I'll tell you that.
Really?
Yeah.
Have
I mean,
you told the Maloofs?
Well, the Maloose is interesting because they did that city wrong, man. They didn't put up any money, and they had a deal. And you know, listen, I've become friends with the stadium in the middle of nowhere,
right?
It's Power Balance Pavilion now. It's Arco Arena, but I've become friends with Kevin Johnson since he's become mayor.
Oh, wow.
Because he's trying to shoot. He wants to start making movies and stuff up there.
So KJ,
KJ.
He wants to make movies.
Absolutely, man.
All right.
He think that city feels like those guys burned him. And it's like, listen, just fine. Because if you think coming to Anaheim is going to solve your problem, and you're going to be able to put it, what would they finish the season 20-40, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And you think that that's going to roll in SoCal, you're wrong, man.
Yeah.
In Orange County, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. You have to put a competitive team on the court.
I'll tell you what to watch for in this state, and I'm serious about this, is the Golden State Warriors. I'll tell you why.
That's my secret team that I very much support.
Everything Peter Guber touches turns to gold.
is Peter Guber part of that?
He's part of the franchise.
No matter what he touches, he now owns the Dodgers, part of the Dodgers.
Is he really?
Bought with Magic. He bought part of the Warriors. And Peter, he is a fanatic, and he will make sure that the right people are hired, that they win.
You know what's so crazy? When I was a youngster coming up in this business, John Peters, Peter Guber were the guys.
The producers.
Like Simpson, Bruckheimer. They were the guys, man. You know, they made Batman. He's obviously an incredibly astute business guy, but I didn't know he was part of that, which, by the way, how the fuck Frank McCourt got out of this town, which I want to ship
alive.
His ass. Alive. Exactly. And made money on that team when he basically, I mean, he financed the whole thing with
a parking lot.
I know. And
right.
It's stunning.
They gave him a little piece of it.
It's like someone says, hey, this house is worth $1 million, and you go, I'm going to give you $2 for
it.
I mean, well, who the fuck does that? And it's like all these Dodger fans, buddies of mine, are like, oh, no, they're not going to raise ticket price. They're not going to raise parking. And I go, really? Come on, man. No.
And you know what's funny about that is Magic Johnson's the nicest guy on the planet.
Absolutely.
He's been in here, nicest guy ever. At that press conference, he did one time I've seen Magic be a dick, and he goes, Frank McCourt will not be a part of this franchise
from this day on.
Don't worry about it.
Because he knows that
shit.
He's a hated
all
man.
Over the guy.
Yeah, he should have. And you know what? He's a hated man because the fact is the guy came away from this situation with equity, and he literally almost bankrupted that franchise.
Yeah.
My concern is this, man. It's like everybody's all fired up that Magic's like a part owner. Fucking Michael Jordan owns the Charlotte Bobcats.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter.
And he plays basketball.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are we so fired up about? It's like it doesn't matter.
By the way, that Charlotte Bobcats team, the worst team
in the history of the NBA.
In the history of the NBA.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the worst. So let me ask you this, brother. What about now? What are your feelings on Derrick Rose? Who else got hurt? Wasn't Thibodeau hurt? Was the whole team hurt?
Noah was hurt.
Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah, who I hate. He's such a
douche.
I gotta tell you,
I've hated him ever since Florida.
Yeah, oh, I hate
him. I've hated him since Florida.
Traditionally, college teams that come out of Florida, going back to old University of Miami, I've always hated them. I just have a thing.
I don't like Florida teams either. And one of my good buddies is from Florida. And he's, of course, a huge fan of the Gators, and I just hate him.
I mean, I take this back. I liked.
I used to like the Hurricanes.
I like Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
I like Bobby Bowden, but the Hurricanes, I just thought that when Jimmy Johnson was coaching them, I hated them. Man.
I liked the talent that came out of Miami for a while.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Michael Irvin. Who else came out of there, man?
But now they suck.
Yeah, but they...
Gino Toretta?
Yeah, Gino Toretta, yes.
Hey, don't be hating on Gino.
Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretta.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, the Bulls... And the thing about Derrick Rose is he's had three separate injuries and three separate body parts.
The most injured MVP winner.
And when you tear an ACL... He may not be back for 9 months.
But what do they think? I mean, do you really think, like, that crew around him, like Noah and... Who's Battier is on? Is Battier on that team? Carlos Boozer. I'm thinking of Boozer.
Yeah, you're thinking of Boozer. Yeah,
Boozer. It's like it's like this is not a they don't have another legitimate second scorer on that team.
Boozer, C.J.
Watson, Korver,
all those guys.
Kyle Korver.
Walk.
It's like
all those guys can walk for all I care.
Yeah.
Go on.
It's funny. It's like the old Bulls team, like a Craig Hodges and B.J. Armstrong. it's like it was kind of like
Horace
Jordan.
Grant.
But the problem, the thing is, was
those guys
George,
pulled their weight. BJ and
they
Horace
did.
Pulled
BJ
their weight.
Did, you know what the thing
Horace
is? It's like everybody keeps saying it's like. And again, listen, I think the Bosch thing is going to be a major blow to Miami.
It's huge.
The bottom line is this:
huge.
Pippen and Jordan took teams on their took those Bulls teams on their back. Bill Cartwright was never going to be like an All Star center ever.
LeBron, the very least, you can look at it as okay. Bosch got injured. So maybe LeBron's going to have trouble winning it all. But he should still win the East easily.
No question.
Easily.
Yeah.
Question. If he doesn't win the East, it's a failure of a year.
It's a major failure.
Major failure.
By the way,
I
wonder
if they don't win.
Well, you and I very much don't want Philly as a part of this.
I hate Philly.
Why not? Yeah. Why not, bro?
They cheered when Joakim Noah got hurt. They cheered when Derrick Rose got hurt. I mean, huge cheers.
This is also the same. This is the same fan
Philly
base that booed fucking Santa Claus.
I know.
Remember when Michael Irvin was laying on the vet? Motionless, and the Philly fans are cheering.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of dig that, but that's me.
Well, I got to tell you something. I think you would kind of dig it because I think Philly fans would be big fans of your movies.
Oh,
I bet you I get standing O's
in Philly.
Huge in Philly.
I bet you. Yeah, it's a douchebag kind of asshole community, and
it's
I would be welcome with open arms.
The city is beautiful. The city is great.
I've never been. You know what's crazy? I've never been.
I've been one time. It's beautiful.
Bradley Cooper's in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not been, and you know what? I've not been to.
I can see you doing a movie there.
There's some parts in that city,
especially South Philly.
Yeah,
where your movies would wow.
Really,
you could light it up there.
But I hear from my brother calls it between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. He calls it Pennsyltucky. It's just redneck. You know what I mean?
It is. It's just like Ohio when you're driving through on the south.
You're
side.
Driving. You're like, I didn't know Mennonites could be rednecks,
but
they are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
but with a little more dignity.
They actually have my stunt coordinator Ben Bray, who plays Hernandez in The Gray, the first guy that gets killed by Will. He's back there right now doing a film called Into the Furnace, which is a Christian Bale, Casey Affleck, and Scott Cooper, who directed Crazy Heart. Well, they have a thing, I guess, which I didn't know about. They literally have a qualification. They call them the Johnson Whites. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
It's essentially. And I don't know if they're just specific to the Pennsylvania area, but they are like an inbred version of like this generation of kind of like travelers and like this bizarre. But they literally call them, the classification is the Johnson Whites. I'm like, what is that? It sounds like a ballpark Frank.
Yeah. So they're
like,
nomads?
I don't know what they are. It's like this like con men. I don't know what the deal is.
It sounds like a really bad
dodgy
like 1800s war. They had the Johnson County War, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
The Johnson Whites bested the Donner Party,
yeah,
and they were forced to eat themselves.
let me ask you, Joe.
Sure.
I got to know, okay, there is a guy that I can't stand. And you may have made peace with this guy,
mm-hmm.
but I got to tell you, I can't stand him. And that's Gavin Pallone.
He's a douchebag.
Douchebag.
By the way, he calls me out. I remember going to his office. This is what you know about Gavin Pallone, what a shithead this guy is. I used to call him Karate Man because he had the white man Jerry curl, right? And in his office, this dipshit had in his office a giant blown up. Giant, and I mean giant, I'm talking about like 65 by 80 frame portrait of that famous where the South Vietnamese police captain shooting that guy in the head.
Oh,
he had that in his office, and this shithead's now he's Mr. Eco, Mr. Green. He's going to come after me about The Gray, movie that he had not seen. Pallone is one of these guys. I'll tell you what a shithead Pallone is. He had NARC for 10 months. He couldn't get that movie made. He had it for 10 months. It was gifted to him by the former Endeavor agency. There it is right there, The Gray. Look at that. Behind us on ESPN.
There you go.
Own it today, guys. On DVD and Blu-ray. I get Blu-rays. It's more expensive, and I get a bigger cut of that. But listen, don't let that affect your purse.
But Blu-ray's better.
Exactly.
I
it is better.
It looks great.
But I'm not a fan, bro. I'm not a fan at all.
You know, he did a couple projects that I hated as well. So I don't really feel bad about not liking the guy.
Here it is, dude. He's one of these guys that his proximity to the industry is all he's got. He's not a creative guy. He's not. It's like he got his. He has his name on Curb Your Enthusiasm, so he owes Larry David
his
everything.
Life.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's his thing. It's
well,
like,
if
by
you
the way,
know
like,
what he does without Larry David, my boy's on TBS, which was a steaming pile.
Is that the girl who's like a sports writer or some
steaming
shit?
Pile?
It's a bunch of people where you see the ad in the bottom right of the screen you're watching, and they're all got their backs to each other.
Yeah.
Right. Are they doing that? They're doing
cross,
that little, right. Like, they're
yeah,
like
that.
They're like, hey, you just caught us in the middle of a great time.
Yeah. Right. Woof.
God.
And then, of course...
There was a miscommunication about sex.
Is Oliver Platt in that show? Is he in that show? Or no? No. Am I mistaken that for something else? Oliver Platt, the poor guy. This is Oliver Platt, whose career can be summed up as the guy who counsels the guy who's getting laid.
He really yeah. is. That Man. Is his career. That is
and
it.
I think he's a great... I think he's such a great personality.
I know.
Such a talented
I know.
Guy.
He's really
he literally
actor.
Is the guy is who the, counsels the guy who's getting laid.
He's the feckless wingman.
He kills yes. it on Broadway. That's where you want to see Oliver Platt, because he gets real roles and he fucking kills
exactly,
it.
Exactly, dude.
And
exactly.
it's a shame he doesn't get better. I mean, I can see him playing a nasty bad guy.
Dude, he would be... You
a
know what,
nasty,
Oliver... You know
what,
I'm gonna
like
seek Oliver Platt out. We're going to do something.
You
I'm gonna,
should.
I'm going to figure something
well,
out.
Well, I saw
guy.
You were talking to Patrick Wilson. That's the guy that needs
a great
flick,
man. I'm going to tell you something.
Gifted man
Patrick Wilson. Patrick Wilson, hands down, with the exception of Liam, was probably the most talented guy I had on that A-team set.
He's great.
Right.
He is so fucking talented.
He's good.
He is. He's
and
great.
And he's funny as shit.
Yeah.
The biggest, you know, he's got a Van Halen cover band. But it's like, he is the... And you
awesome.
You want to talk? You talk
I love Van Halen.
You talk Van Halen with Patrick
when you
Wilson.
Went to that Van Halen pre-concert oh, thing, I was gonna kill you. I was tweeting. I'm
my
like,
kid lost his mind, man. And you know what's funny? I saw him a couple nights later.
Yeah.
And Diamond Dave kind of like was he didn't he wasn't he was he's kind of forgetting some of the lyrics and some.
Did he do a roundhouse though?
Oh, fuck yeah, he did a roundhouse. Are you kidding me, brother? Diamond Dave's not gonna do a roundhouse. But it was like, but yeah, Patrick is such a you know
great,
I look at that
talent.
Guy and I go. Why can't I put that guy in any movie I want? Because he's so incredibly talented.
Because
you know,
the studios won't probably
let a meritocracy, you. Guys.
There was a period where he was really getting some juicy roles for years,
Hard
one
candy.
After the other. Hard Candy
yeah.
And,
yeah.
and Lakeview Terrace, yeah. and he's good in Watchmen, and then it's just like,
he's
this guy's going to shoot
Lakeview
to the
Terrace.
Top. I know. He's going to shoot to the top, and then something yeah. happened, and then you just didn't see him. What the fuck?
Let me tell you something.
Happened?
A gifted man, that show had so much fucking talent. What a waste
yeah.
of talent. And... You know, I champion Les Moonves on here all the time. I think the guy's a genius. I think he knows what America
he
wants.
Is. Les is a pretty
but
amazing
that
guy.
Is
he
a
builds
waste.
New talent.
Stop taking guys like Dennis Quaid and Patrick Wilson, putting them in procedurals.
Yeah.
No one wants to see it.
But here's the thing, brother. They do want to see it because the numbers bear that out.
Not in Gifted, man. And no. I think this Dennis Quaid show is going to show, too. We want to see Dennis Quaid and Michael Chiklis act. We don't want to see them in this week's episode of Who Catches the
but
Bad
Guy. But those procedurals, those are huge.
Look,
I mean,
David
like,
Caruso,
you know when you go
no offense to him, but he's perfect for a procedural because he's just good enough. He's not good enough to be a lead in a movie. I don't
Who's
think
that, brother? Who's that?
David Caruso. I don't know if he can emotionally carry
By the
a
way,
show,
dude, you and I
but
could,
he's great in CSI Miami.
They could fill up Coney Dog right now with the money that Caruso's made.
I know.
Yeah. $1,000 bills, and we could swim in it for months.
But that's why I'm
swim
saying,
in it,
Joe,
like Scrooge McDuck.
And Joe, don't get me wrong. I'm not insulting the guy. I'm saying the guy's perfect for a show like CSI Miami because his talent's bad.
But he also, Matt, he also became more affected. Caruso, you watch Caruso in First Blood when he's a young buck.
Yeah.
And
oh,
he's like,
yeah.
Got
That's true. That's true.
And you see him in like, what was that?
And
what
then
was that, thing? Where was that thing? What was the movie with that Barbet Schroeder did where Nick Cage was benching the girl? A Kiss Before
Kiss
the
to Death.
Kiss to Death.
Yeah.
He's great
yeah,
in that
he
movie,
is.
Man.
He is. But let me tell you this, Joe. But when you watch a TV show and you see a great talent like Gary Sinise doing CSI fucking New York, man, doesn't that drive you a little nuts? Don't you think Jimmy Shaker deserves better?
Yes,
Ransom.
I do think, yes.
Jimmy Shaker?
I do. It's true, dude. This guy's pumping Kool-Aid. I'll never forget that line. Yeah.
But those shows, I mean, people know what they're going to get on those shows.
I've
I mean,
had
they're
Gary on the show.
When you go to McDonald's, the success of McDonald's is it's the same
exactly.
food everywhere
you know
go.
You're gonna get,
my
listen,
mom loves
you're going to get a Big Mac. It's like, listen, I can't. Here's
and
the thing.
It might taste good. And so those crime shows are entertaining.
See, but I disagree about one thing. And that I know a show that does it right because they mix just enough procedural with real acting and real drama, and that's The Good Wife. And that's a Ridley and Tony
you know brother,
Scott show.
Funny, that show's really well done. And you know what? My brother's a big fan of that show, too.
Right.
And it's not anything like flashy. I mean, listen. We'll never have a show like The Wire, which no one saw, and it's fucking brilliant, and no one cared, and David Simon so much smarter than the next guy doing what he's doing.
You're right.
That's what you, that's the problem.
Same thing
no
that
one saw it,
with,
but everyone thinks it's one
it's
of the
like,
greatest
it's like
TV shows
it's like,
they
it's
ever
like
saw.
Treme. Nobody watches that. Fucking,
no,
exactly.
How does that kid Michael Williams who played Omar never get nominated for a fucking?
We've tried to get him on the show like 50 times.
Yeah, how is that possible? That guy never got
Michael Anderson
because no one watches the show. But you know what's going to happen? The same thing with Treme. 5 years from now, everyone's going to be like, that
wow, what
was
a great
the greatest show.
Right.
show.
Where the fuck were you when it was on?
Right.
There's only, you know, right now, the shows I watch consistently, I watch SportsCenter, I watch Archer on FX, which I love.
Yeah.
I watch like The Wire.
Yeah.
And because I'm writing this thing, I just finished this thing for Showtime. I was watching Dallas SWAT, Detroit SWAT, Kansas.
So wait,
SWAT.
Both Carnahan brothers are going to Showtime? Are you producing something? Or
I wrote
gonna...
this thing right now. I'm calling it The Reloads. I don't know if I think it's fucking. Listen, I've never seen anything like it. And
really?
I wrote it as a. Gary Randall, the guy that gave me the idea, who I really like, basically said, dude, I just want to do a show that starts in the middle of something and we have no backstory.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle. You just jump in the middle
of
like
a heat-like
bank robbery in downtown LA.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So that was like, but I was doing
heat,
that for.
What a fucking movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. What a
fucking movie.
You know what? I was just knocking around with, in fact, down the street at Riley's in a couple hours, I'm going to meet Guzmano Cesaretti, who's Michael Mann's photo. All of his, everything you saw in Collateral, everything you saw in Heat, Guzmano found.
Hmm.
And he just took me around the week before last for 5 days. We went all over
LA. Is that what your Twitter pictures were going on?
Yeah. All the Death Wish stuff we did. And we went to the jungle in Crenshaw. And you realize this is how chicken shit location managers are in LA. I went through there. You could take the cars off the streets and repaint the buildings and have a 1950s era film without touching another fucking thing.
Wow.
Wow.
Because nobody wants to go down there.
Yeah, right.
Because they're terrified.
Right.
Because they don't understand. Like, we went to East LA. We went to, like, it was amazing. And Guzmano is fearless. You just go with him.
Yeah.
And he goes, we went to this is how crazy it is. We were in the Edison having drinks because the owner wanted us to shoot there. She gives us cocktails. It's like this whole artisan cocktail shit. 15 minutes later, we're in the Dogtown Projects with this guy named Chete, which is the oldest Latino gang in LA.
Yeah.
And he basically said this. I've never had anybody say this to me. He's like, no one will fuck with you, and everybody knows you're here. Which I thought was like, wow.
You know what's great is? I had a similar thing when I did my documentary. I spent 3 days in the Cabrini Greens Chicago. I spent 3 days there. And, dude, there was this one black guy. I wish I could remember his name. He protected me.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the guy that leased out all the $50 a month apartments.
Uh-huh.
And I walked into his house, and it's just tons of paper stacked up because all the leases and all everything.
Holy
this guy was legit. But there were people throwing bottles at me. At each door was a guy with a gun guarding the door to enter into the place. Like, it was fucking crazy.
It is.
How did you meet
but
that guy?
But at the same time, I met him because, because when my cameraman and I tried to get into one building, and this guy pulled a gun on me, not in like he's going to shoot me kind of way, but like,
just
what do you
like,
want?
Like halt who goes
yeah,
there.
What do you want? Just so you know, I got a fucking pick.
That's actually what they say, like, halt who goes there.
Yeah, right, they do.
They want to be like, just
it's,
so you
listen,
know.
Joe,
two if I river, one if I...
Yeah.
Two if I sea, one if I land, two if I sea. Yeah.
Listen, it's a Chicago thing.
No, yeah, these guys look at me and they're
they
like...
They go, friend or enemy, give the countersign.
They're like, listen, David the Gnome, what the fuck do you want? You know,
yeah,
right? And I'm like, all right, listen, bro.
Look, Parrothead Shakespeare.
And then I'm just this, like, little white boy, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm doing a documentary in Cabrini Green. And I'm like, well, I just want to come
interview people. You get street points just for showing up. Just for being that, because they probably think you're mentally unstable.
Out of my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got the gun pulled on me, I went to this leasing office, because I had to do an interview there anyways, because I wanted to know how these people got these places, and what they're doing with these people, because Daly was shipping them out. He would give them vouchers.
Well, is that really, like, is the Daly regime really, like, the most, like,
Cabrini-Green,
quasi-racist,
yes,
fascist,
yes,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Cabrini Green no longer exists. They shipped them all out.
But
the
he
suburb.
Literally built the interstate, like the freeway to run between like the
right.
poor area and like the...
Yes.
Oof. Wow.
Yes.
Over the unpleasantness.
It'll
over
cost the unpleasantness, you $4 to park for an hour downtown.
And that's the way we do it. And that's the Daily legacy.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's the
right.
Daily
entrenched
legacy.
Pork barrel.
And we can't
politics.
Make movies
yeah,
there
you.
Because the tax credit's so fucking terrible.
Which is, by the way, which is like, this is why they didn't shoot the Dark Knight Rises
no.
in Chicago.
Pittsburgh.
They shot in Pittsburgh.
Because they couldn't get a better deal.
The 2000 decade, that was the decade of filming in Chicago, man. They made so many movies there.
Which, by the way, Gotham by Chicago was such an intriguingly beautiful, like, the
yeah.
way that they shot it. The way Nolan did it, like, it was really great.
I know.
I dug it.
So going back all the way to my Gavin Pallone story, because I had a point with that.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we digressed.
Yeah,
right.
We did digress there.
Jesus.
I do want to point out, but I want you to, on the record, to let everyone know, you didn't harm one fucking wolf.
I didn't hurt a single fucking wolf, man. I mean, guys, stop.
Let them know.
I mean, it's like, guys, by the way,
a
it's
guy
like,
named Wolf. Do
we,
the crew
do we not
into.
Have better things to do than worry about? Like, listen, was there wolf meat? Yes. Was it a priorly deceased wolf? Was it roadkill? Was it a trap? Listen, by the way, the wolves that are on trap lines are not like innocent, like wolves, like
right.
hanging out having a fucking picnic. They're going in to kill cattle.
Right.
They're
right.
going in to, like, you know, kill livestock.
Right.
But you get these. There was some shithead, I can't even remember his name, on Twitter who kept coming after me. Like it was.
You got a couple of those.
Yeah, and it's like, listen, and the guy was like, hey, if you want to get in the dojo, I'm like, bro, do you want to get in
the
dojo?
Dojo?
What are you, fucking Danielson? I mean, what are we going to, like, wax on, wax? I mean, what? Really, dude? Like,
I like how
Cobra Kai.
I like how it looks like you killed some wolves in your movie. Turns into, do you want to fight me?
Yeah, wait. He was gonna dojo you.
He wanted dojo. It's like, bro. Listen, if you sign away, it's like there's a great story about Chris Chelios for years.
Love Chris Chelios.
He would literally, because of course he's, you know, he's considered a tough guy. So he'd get yeah. shitheads in bars that come up to him and would call him out. And Chelios had a routine where he basically like, all right, you know, and Chelios has a kind of crazy voice.
Yeah.
And he would literally do the bar nap, sign it, and he would say, I, the undersigned, agree to engage in physical combat with Chris Chelios. And there's a little signature line. And right as the guy got the signature line, Chelios just fucking knocked the guy
out. Oh, man.
I
that
love
is
Chelios.
Fantastic.
Chelios, of course, lives in both towns I live in. He lives in Westmont and he lives in Malibu. Well, I'm not in Malibu, obviously, but he's in the
not
area.
Yet.
Yeah, no, not right. yet. Not yet. No. But he's in both areas, so that's nice. I'm going to go home. Hopefully I bump into Chelios.
Yeah, but anyway, so this douchebag is, I can't remember the guy's name, but it got to the point where it's like,
sign a waiver,
why
bro.
Are you, why, but I'm thinking to myself, why are you engaging this dipshit any yeah. further? It's like, we didn't do anything to the wolves. And by the way, if you watch The Gray, the Wolves do okay. If it's like a college football game, it's like 66-3.
Right.
They do all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
Right. You know, that's what people forget. At the end of the fucking movie, which you can buy today on Blu-ray.
That's right, Blu-ray and DVD.
There are a pack of wolves and Liam Neeson.
That's right.
And then one wolf fights Liam Neeson, maybe, you don't know, whatever
right.
happens. That's the movie. But there's a pack of wolves that survived. No humans.
I'm interested in a guy who's watching a movie and thinks, the guy that made this, if he comes into my dojo, I'll beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
That's his mindset watching
By the way, this is a guy who'd like, you know, he'd step over like a starving kid to get to a wounded squirrel.
Yeah.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It's like, it's that kind of, it's that mindset.
I always had that issue about people who got up in arms when they put out Charlie Chan movies on DVD because it was offensive to Asian
yeah.
people. You know what? Oh, yeah, you know what? Charlie Chan is a genius. He's analytical. He figures things out. He's smarter than everyone in the room.
Exactly.
What a horrible stereotype that is.
Right.
You remember when they did it, and I don't know, you can't even see this. Remember the Warner Brothers, like the old WB, the old Warner Brothers cartoons I watched when I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
Remember when something crazy would happen, they'd go by this kind of random character, it'd be a bird or whatever, and the bird would say, now I've seen everything, and put a gun to their head and shoot
right.
themselves?
Right.
Like, they took, like, wait a minute, guys. I grew up on that shit. I grew up on Larry Moe, like,
yep.
slapping the shit out of each other.
Oh, right.
I didn't go out into the street and when do we become morons that are like low-hanging fruit?
Know.
Like, hey, I'm going to go out there and do this
know.
Exact same thing. It's idiotic.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if we talked about this last time you were on, but we've had many conversations where Lee and I, every night, we watch Stooges or cartoons. That's
right.
what we
yeah.
did. Right.
Every night. To unwind. If we had a stressful day, we put on the Stooges,
every
we
night.
Put on cartoons. It's just something.
Old Bugs Bunny, like 40s, 50s
Bugs
Bunny,
yeah, right.
yeah.
Is the greatest.
The
when Mel
yeah.
Blanc's like in his prime, it's the greatest,
yeah.
man.
I mean, there
are a few things funnier to me than
what
those
makes
old
me mad about guys like Gavin Pallone and these guys that attack you on Twitter for wolves, whatever. Hey, how about you focus on the fact that it's a great fucking studio film, which, by the way, and I truly mean this, I said this to you yesterday, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, you can ask anyone I talk to, everyone knows I say this. Joe Carnahan is the last, in my mind, maybe you can put another guy or two in there, but one of the last Maverick studio directors, okay? 70s films, we were talking about this the other day. Every film that got nominated this year wouldn't have gotten one nomination in the 70s.
That's true.
Not
That's true.
One fucking nomination.
Yeah.
This business is turning into shit, man. The Artist won Best Picture. If The Artist
yeah.
won Best Picture 10 years ago, 5 studios would be fighting over how to make a movie like The Artist or independent movies like that or whatever.
Right.
No one gave a shit. when it won this year.
No,
don't give a fuck.
And listen, I liked the movie. I took my son to see it. He dug it.
Right.
It's like, you know, but is it like, is it was it some transcendent experience? It's like, no.
But
it's
the
like,
studios it was want to make $100 million.
And you know
movie.
What? It was a novelty. It was a silent film.
Right.
It had this great kind of energy to it. I thought that girl Bernice Bejo was so beautiful.
She was very good.
And Jean Dujardin, it's like, how can you not? They're charming as shit. How can you not like that film?
But I want to focus on, with The Gray, what I think should be focused on is that it's an original film that is Joe Carnahan's style, which harkens back to William Friedkin and other great directors. It just pisses me off. I'll give you another example. How about the great, great performance of Frank Grillo?
Yeah, Grillo's amazing, man. Grillo's amazing.
Fuck, man.
But by
Talk
the way, but listen,
that.
But I'll tell you this, Matt. Here's the good news. Open Road's going to re-release this film in October for
That's
Oscar
right.
consideration.
That's
so,
right.
And God love him for doing that. But you know what? At the end of the day, if you start giving a shit about that, you start to. It's like I can't do that, man. I don't have enough years left in this business to worry about it. People love me. Are they going to nominate me? It's like fuck that, man.
Right.
Just go do the work. Be happy about it. You pay your bills. You know, you don't have to work a jerk job. That's fantastic. That in and of itself is
that
like
is
a reward.
A
you know what
success.
I mean? It
that
is,
means,
man.
Yeah, when you that means you made it. If you don't have to work that job, that in a way that yeah.
And
that
by the way, we're all sitting here having a good time talking shit. This wouldn't happen if I wasn't doing this. So it's like that in and of itself. It's like listen, everything big and small, you should be thankful for.
I agree. There are some huge movies I'm thankful for, but Joe, this is my problem, man. I'm gonna read to you the list of the big movies coming up in the next couple months, okay? And you tell me what the running theme is, man. Men in Black 3, okay?
Okay.
You got Men in Black 3. Then you got the new Spider-Man
right.
is coming out. Then you, what's coming out in June? We got June coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking right now. Snow White and the Huntsman.
Mm-hmm.
Piranha 3DD. Like, dude.
3DD,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, 3DD, right. And, you know,
I just want to correct you.
I think I might see that one.
I'm going to see that one.
Yeah. Prometheus, Madagascar 3. And Prometheus looks great.
Looks good.
Look, some of these were rock ages, but my point is, remake, sequel, reboot.
Okay, can I tell you guys something? I probably shouldn't say this.
But you're doing Death Wish.
Yeah, I'm doing Death Wish.
I want to get to that. But
No, but here's the thing. Is there a commonality in that? Yeah, it's called billion-dollar fucking franchise.
I know.
Right.
I saw the Avengers last night. I thought Josh Whedon knocked it out of the park, man.
Movie.
Let me tell you something. It's a balancing act that man did with that script and that material. You got fucking like alien invaders from Asgard, the Incredible Hulk, Iron Man. Like, just to throw that down the table and go, hey, dude, make sense of this. That's a tall order. That thing could have sucked.
I know.
It could have
so
sucked
hard.
I know.
Yeah.
I agree.
So bad.
I was quite surprised. It was actually really entertaining.
Joe, I agree, and I get that opinion, and I'm not one of these guys that's like,
no, but
I just want little film.
Here's the thing, with the Avengers, as much as I enjoyed it, my kids loved it. It's like, I really dug it. It's a double-edged sword because now you go, oh, shit. I'm sure it's what everyone felt after Star Wars in 77. Oh fuck! Now we're just gonna make these.
Right.
Now we're just gonna make these kind of like high end comic book. Because by the way, if you take any one of those actors out, I kept as I'm watching the scene between Robert Downey Jr. and Ruffalo initially, I lean over my daughter and go, hey, remember these guys are both in Zodiac? You know, you completely forget. It's like both these guys were like, you know, it's like. And so it's easy to get, but at the same time.
And are we going to have room for movies like Zodiac?
Right.
Are they going to make them?
I'll tell you the thing is, and I tweeted about this, you know, Mark Miller of Kick-Ass and Wanted. And
Love Mark Miller.
The lovely, lovely Scottish gent who has now become a dear friend of mine.
Love Mark Miller.
Everything in that Avengers film, down to Sam Jackson as Nick Fury, was created by Mark Miller.
Yeah.
Between 2002 and 2003,
that's
as work for hire
I don't
for Marvel,
see his name on the screen,
$1,000 a week. If they had any class, they'd write the guy a fucking check for $1 million and say thanks for everything.
I didn't even see his name in the
Nothing,
credit.
Nothing, man.
Yeah.
The Asgard, the invasion, all that stuff was his. And I think that. I mean, listen, it's neither here nor there because Joss Whedon made a great film.
Yeah,
and
give the guy a fucking couple of million. Christ, how much
I think,
that
listen,
movie made?
Mark doesn't worry about it because his like because Kick-Ass 2
he's
right
good.
Now is outselling
he's
Spider-Man.
Good, brother.
So
he's
good.
Good. I got to tell you, though, what bothers me is, and by the way, another director I want to say I think is a studio maverick, and another guy that harkens back to great 70s and 80s filmmaking like Frankenheimer and Friedkin, Gavin O'Connor.
Gavin's
is another
my boy,
guy.
Man.
Another guy I wanted to give props to.
Gavin's my boy.
Too.
Absolutely. But there's guys, listen, I'm a huge Paul Thomas Anderson fan.
Yeah.
I think he's like, you know, it's like,
but he has to fight to get a movie made.
Sure,
man.
He does. But the guy, I think the guy's a legitimate genius. We throw that word around like it doesn't. But there's a fucking guy. I'm telling you something. There's a motherfucker that's in another league.
The Scientology movies putting together.
I love it. Phil Hoffman is your lead. Philip Seymour Hoffman is your lead. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's great.
Fantastic.
It's gonna be a great movie.
Absolutely.
I bet. Tarantino's another guy who's great.
I love Quentin.
But look, man, I mean, why is it? It just annoys me. You know, I'm sorry. I just get fired up because where is there going to be the room for? I grew up in the '90s, so the '90s.
Man,
you
grew up in
way,
the shittiest era for music.
And for
89 and 90 might be the two worst years.
I'm an 80s music guy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Thank God Nirvana. You know.
But 90s music is really bad. But 90s movies, I thought about this the other day. In a weird way, it was the best of times and the worst of times.
Like Fair Game with Cindy Crawford and Billy Baldwin?
Worst of times?
Worst of times.
And then you had best of times where you got stuff
Terminator
like
2.
Sundance, Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
You had Slacker. You had pre-Pulp Fiction Independence that
were right,
really...
You had Richard Linklater. You had...
The Brothers McMullen, anyone?
Look, here's my point, Joe. Bernie, Richard Linklater's newest film with Jack Black and McConaughey and Shirley MacLaine... That would have been released in the 90s
right,
in
just
a thousand
for that.
Theaters.
I didn't know what the fuck that
There's
movie
five
was.
Theaters. Yeah. And it's got great reviews.
Right.
And it's supposed to be really good. No one gives a shit.
Linklater, like The Scanner Darkly, I really dug that film. It's
I like that, too.
It kills me, man.
But here's the thing. It's like with anything, the proliferation of all these movies, it gets more and more difficult to be unique or to break outside of that, you know, outside of that. Yeah. And so, consequently, you have to start asking yourself. And it's one thing to say... You know, we say, oh, this guy's a sellout, or that guy's a sellout. It's like, listen, man, unless you're Michael Bay or Steven Spielberg, you got to pay fucking bills, man.
Yeah,
you know what
right?
I mean? And
yeah.
It's like, it's no different. People think, the minute you land in Hollywood, like people think, like, I've been rolling the dough with A-Team. That's not the case, man.
Right.
I mean, listen, I'll be frank. I almost went broke making The Gray because I got lied to by the scumbag that was, like, setting this thing up. And I had to kick in a bunch of my feet just to get that film made. So that was not an easy time.
Man.
So it's not like it's like... The perception is it's like, oh, what the fuck? You got all this money. You must have boats and bitches and houses in South Beach. No, that's not the case.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think a lot of it is what it also comes down to is economics. And what it also comes down to is, I mean, listen, I'm in a good situation with something like Death Wish because it's Paramount, it's MGM. So I don't have to. I can get, you know, full freight. And I can actually, you know, make a couple of bucks.
What are we supposed to be looking forward to with Death Wish? Why, other than Joe Carnahan's directing it, why do I get excited for Death Wish?
The way I'm doing Death Wish is I'm doing Death Wish, well, one is set in L.A., but it's L.A. is like a walking city. So it's L.A. by bus and metro cab.
Yeah.
And you're going, and listen, a lot of people haven't even seen the areas of L.A. that we're going to go into. So it's like this, I think it's as much, the city is as much a character in this thing as anything, you know what I mean? And I think it's like, listen, you got to remember the original, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but the original Death Wish.
No, you announced it like the day
the
after
original
my
Death
show,
Wish,
yeah.
The original Death Wish was Sidney Lumet and Jack Lemmon.
Correct.
And,
yeah. Frank Grillo and I talked about
that's
that.
That's a completely different fucking movie.
And that's what you're going for,
and
more
I'm, you know,
that.
And I said to telling Grillo, he's one of the only actors I've ever written a role for, but I'm writing a role for him.
So this is for sure Grillo's in this puppet.
Oh, yeah, man.
Because, you know, I talked to him about when he was on... And we talked about Lumet, and we talked about Jack Lemmon, and I go, if Joe's making that kind of movie, I'm there.
Yeah.
Joe's making a remake. I love Joe, but I don't know if I give a shit.
No, bro, it wouldn't be a remake. I mean, I think as much as I enjoy... Listen, I'm a big Charles Bronson fan.
Right,
I mean,
me too.
Bronson
right.
was always
10 to
bigger.
Midnight, of course.
Oh, dude, Warren. Yeah. My brother and I make jokes about Warren, the naked dude running at 10 to midnight at the end of that movie. Where it's like, my brother and I to this day will go,
you.
Dude, that guy looks like Warren. It's like the creepy, blandly, handsome, perv,
we
degenerate
quote lines
zero
from
killer.
That movie.
We do all
we
the time.
All the time. Like, and here's your little jerk-off toy.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's got his little, like, hump or whatever.
You guys remember, there's a great line.
He hurts them with his penis.
He hurts them with his penis.
Whatever the line was, yeah.
It was.
Have you guys ever seen, like, have you ever seen Death Wish 2? He's got this guy on his back, this guy down.
I've seen all
like,
the Death Wish
and he sees the guy's cross, he's like, you believe in Jesus? And the guy's like, good, you're going to meet him.
Yeah, right. Oh, I love that.
I remember.
I like all the, remember the, what was the one where he kills, like, an entire village? like the third, where he's like in a cabin and there's like this.
Death Hunt.
Yeah, Death Hunt.
Lee Marvin.
That's
a great thing. Remember the guy, the cover. Remember he fortifies because they think that he's stealing the prospect of the gold out of the team.
Right.
Yeah. Remember the guy busts open the door and there's Bronson with a double. He's like, welcome, and he blows the guy.
Yeah.
There was a Bronson movie when I was a kid that I obsessed over, and I saw when I was an adult and realized how shitty it was, that J. Lee Thompson, who made the original Cape Fear, made called White Buffalo.
Yes.
And
Lee Thompson made so many good movies in the 60s and then made shit with
shit
Charles
movies,
Bronson.
Man. Yeah, but that White Buffalo movie, I remember you could tell it was made post-Jaws because they decided, we need to do a dolly shot on every fucking setup. We're going to dolly the camera on every goddamn scene. And it's still Bronson's so watchable, and you so dig that guy.
And then the other one is the Kunjite, the Japanese.
There's a little known one, dude.
How great is that scene with that old Japanese man who there's no reason for him being in the movie other than he's a perv.
No, but he's
and
there.
There's no conclusion to his storyline.
Right. Yeah.
He's,
you're right.
He's there to be a creepy Japanese guy.
I love those really bad Bronson movies. I love them.
Mr. Majestic, the mechanic. But he's still like, what's the one with St. Ives? Like, was it Jill St. James?
Or Julie Ireland?
Jill Ireland was his wife.
It was, but I think she was in one of them.
It's funny. I was watching the original Death Wish.
Yeah.
And you see, like these assholes go through a subway car. They pass the pregnant woman. They pass the elderly guy. Yeah. They pass the kids, and they go and fuck with Bronson.
Now, here's where I'm on board for a Joe Carnahan Death Wish. If it is a reference in style or in substance to a 52 pickup with Roy Scheider.
Oh, there you go.
Or Rolling Thunder.
Right. Bill Devane.
Bill Devane and Tommy Lee Jones.
Absolutely, dude.
Or,
by the way, that's 52 pickups is an underrated
Frankenheimer. So underrated.
I showed it
from an Elmore Leonard book, by the way.
Yep, Elmore Leonard book.
And Margaret still looks hot.
I showed it
movie.
To Lee. I was shocked Lee hadn't seen it.
No.
And we watched it, a few months ago.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was so good.
It's great.
It was great.
Well, that was
Clarence Thomas III, the creepy link from my God.
You don't know when he's going to go off and kill people in that
movie.
No,
dude.
The first two times.
And John Glover's great.
Wrong.
John Glover's great as
the
creepy
porn guy. The porn guy.
I thought he was fantastic. And that was you were on your big Roy Scheider kick at that point.
I'm always on my big
Roy
Scheider kick.
Anything Roy Scheider put his name on, we were watching.
I'll tell you what, there's a series of those movies. I'll give you one of my favorite movies from the 80s.
Yeah.
If you watch it now, I almost don't want to watch it because it held me in such thrall as a kid. Sharky's Machine.
I own it.
He just bought it.
Henry Silva
is great.
As the ghost. And remember that gunfight? The gunfight in Smoking Aces in the elevator is prompted by the Bernie Casey, Henry Silva gunfight from Sharky's Machine.
That.
Yes. And by the way,
the last stunt
Ward, my wife, I told this to my wife. The reason I'm married to this beautiful woman is because I had the biggest boyhood crush on Rachel Ward, and she looks like Rachel Ward.
You see pictures
of my wife, she looks like Rachel Ward.
Well, then you did well.
Oh, yes, I did.
Good.
Oh, yes, kids, stick with that career.
That's a great movie.
I love Sharky's Machine.
Sticks, another one. Star Robinson does that free fall.
That's the most amazing stunt I've ever seen
in a movie. It's incredible. By the way,
falls out of a building.
Stick is one of the best.
185-foot free fall.
Drop.
Everyone talks about that.
You can't see that.
Everyone.
They call it bunny eyes.
When you do
albino.
That, the size of your balls automatically just increases.
Once they drop back into the scrotal vault, they do increase.
Burt Reynolds made some good movies that were underrated.
Reynolds directed Sharky's
Machine,
too.
Yeah.
Yep,
it's really effective. I just don't
remember the Clint Eastwood story about Sharky's Machine. Do you know this story?
No.
Bert said to Clint, I'm going to go make my Dirty Harry in Atlanta. And Clint goes, well, if it does well, I'm going to have to go make my Dirty Harry. Because I can't have you outdoing me.
Oh, you're kidding.
And Clint saw it, and he loved it. And he goes, I'm going to go make another Dirty Harry.
No shit.
That's right. Yeah. Bert, I love you, but I can't. You can't make this Dirty Harry.
But, I mean, Burt Reynolds did some great movies. Yes,
Burt did some great movies.
I think Sticks underrated.
Sticks horrible. And there's another Dutch.
And that's
Elmore
Leonard.
Absolutely.
Once
another
again,
one.
Elmore Leonard, we touch upon one of the greatest writers of all time.
No question.
All time.
No question.
Do you watch Justified?
I do watch Justified.
That is a great show.
It is. Elmore Leonard says
it's the
best.
And by the way, Raylan Givens, that character's been in, I'm trying to think of the other books he's been in, but he's been in a bunch of books.
Fire Below. Fire in the Hole. Fire in the Hole.
Fire in the Hole. Our loser roommate bought them and didn't read them. Fire in the Hole, and the other one's called...
Is it Killshot? Is he in Killshot or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, Killshot. I don't know if he's in the kill shot.
He's in, there's one called Tenpenny Killer that he'd given me. Here's my great Dutch story. When I did NARC, he saw NARC and loved it. And I had said in many interviews that growing up in Michigan and being a kid, I remember reading Swag and Stick when I was a kid and reading all these books.
Yeah.
Dutch got a hold of me. And I remember having a series of conversations, and every morning around 8 a.m., the phone would ring. I'd get on the phone with Elmore Leonard, who at the time, this was years ago, shit, he was 70-something
now.
Yeah.
He's in his 80s now.
I'm trying to schedule an interview with him.
He was, that love guy him. Is remarkable. And you think about that. Forget about that. Get Shorty.
Yep, like, Get
you
know, Shorty, Rum like, Punch.
Rum Punch, which is sure. Jackie Brown. Like, sure. It's like all these great, all these tremendous stories. And this is a guy, a white man in his 80s, who's still doing it at that level. It's
right.
Fantastic.
Mr. Majestic, as we
Majestic,
said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how many accidentally we touched upon Elmore Leonard novels
yeah.
in this conversation.
By the way, isn't Ombre with Paul Newman?
Ombre with yeah. Paul Newman yeah. is, yes.
There's a great line in that where this, I forget who it was, because by the way, I said this, I think I Twittered this, I was drunk when I was watching Newman and Cool Hand Luke, and I'm going, there's not a better looking motherfucker in the history of movies than that
no.
guy. Brando maybe is a
You're not lying,
Newman,
though.
Newman and Cool Hand Luke is so goddamn appealing.
Yeah.
But there's that, when in Ombre, there's a great line, I forget who the actress is, and she says something like, Mister, you mind telling us why we're following you? And he says, because Lady, I can cut it. And I thought, what a fuck.
I got to tell you.
Because Lady, I can cut it. It's just like, boom.
I think if you ask every straight man in America,
yeah.
if they had a gun to their head, who's the sexiest motherfucker in film history?
I
Newman.
Love
Cool Hand Luke.
I love how
Newman.
Joe,
it's
Joe
Newman.
And I knew what you were going to say before you finished.
It's true, though.
I know, dude. It's true. It's true.
I really think that would be
and
the
I
majority
and I
of the
I love
vote.
That goddamn movie. George Kennedy's great in that. I'll eat 50 eggs. I mean,
awesome.
Come on, man.
Yeah, right.
It's fantastic.
Awesome.
It's fantastic. And you know what we won't get? We don't have, in my estimation, a guy like him now. We just don't.
George Kennedy or
no,
Paul Newman?
Newman.
We don't.
Newman.
We don't.
I'm trying to think of a guy like George Kennedy.
Dragline.
Character actors.
Can't be a couple of fine
and here's what
ball
I also
girl.
Love about your films. You make good use of character actors.
I love character actors. Listen, if you
They're
like,
getting killed nowadays, man.
They are getting killed, but you know what? There's some great ones.
A-listers and close to A-listers because movies are costing much less money. They can afford to get, like, all these names in movies now.
Yeah.
You can afford to get a huge Ocean's 11 cast
yeah.
in a $20 million picture.
But I've also had those moments kind of blow up. I remember David Patrick Kelly, I wanted because he played Luther in 48 Hours.
Yeah.
I loved him. And he was the killer. He was the bad guy
yep.
in Dreamscape.
Yep. Right.
You know, he's
yep.
Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
And I remember he came in to read, and the guy was out of his motherfucking mind. he was
some of them are, man.
Off the reservation.
But see,
man.
That's what I want to be. I want to be a character actor. That's all I want to be,
dude.
Man. That's all I want to be. I don't want to be a lead. I don't want to be, you know, I want to be a George.
I don't think you have the lunatic prowess of DPK.
No,
though,
I want to be
you,
a George Kennedy, though,
something
man.
Something you got to work at.
Yeah.
George
yeah.
Kennedy. Look at all the other guys. Harry Dean Stanton
yeah.
in that movie.
The greatest
Ralph
ever,
Wade,
Harry
who became
Stanton.
The dad in the Waltons. It's like
that's
that
right.
movie's
Harry Dean Stanton
and
is one
really
of the most
bizarre,
interesting actors ever.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And a really bizarre, doped-up Dennis Hopper is in Cool Hand Luke.
Awesome.
Right, that's right.
Yep.
Baba Lugas. Yeah.
Yeah, but that is all, you know, that is all I want to do, man. I love those guys. And what I loved about, and this is why I went gaga over the Gray and gaga over Frank Grillo, and I had to get Frank on the show immediately, and I hunted him down, and that's why I love the movie The Raid this year. I love finding these guys.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
who
man.
May not be leads or A-listers or whatever.
But by the way, listen, in this business where we're basically chasing the
yeah.
same fucking five guys, it'd be
yeah.
nice to have five more guys and five more guys after that so we could make movies without everybody hinging every goddamn thing.
That's
we
another
do.
Problem.
Right.
It becomes the gold standard. We got to get this guy. We can't make the movie. I think it's absurd.
That's another
know?
Problem, though. And back 10, 15 years ago, you had a list of 10, 15 guys you could use
sure
in to make a film.
And you know, back even further, you had the list is even bigger.
Well, let me tell you this, Joe, because you're making movies right now, and I'm not. But I've had my opinion on this. I've had my opinion on this, and I want to see if I'm right. Name five A-list bankable under 30 male actors.
Bankable?
Yeah, bankable. That a studio would greenlight immediately. Under 30.
Well, I'll tell you this right off the top, Justin Timberlake they would. Because you know what? I'll tell you what.
One.
If you see that movie he did In Time, which didn't even
yep.
make $40 million,
no.
made $180 worldwide.
On DVD, too. He kills on DVD.
I'd say Timberlake. I'd say under 30.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf,
two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum.
And he's 32.
Okay, no.
So,
oh.
Close. But close. I mean, but this
Zac,
is my
Zac,
point,
Zac,
man.
Zac Efron, I don't know.
Maybe. Efron did well with the lucky one. And
who's
I
the
like
kid? Who's, the, who's the kid, the poor kid? What's the kid? What's that kid's name? He plays the wolf, the kid with the shirt off and the, what the fuck?
Oh, but his
name?
Movie bombed, that Abduction with John Singleton.
Yeah. I like John, too. John's a friend
of mine.
John.
Yeah,
he's a good dude,
I love
man.
John. Shaft, I thought, was underrated. I thought
John made five movies that were completely his own when he started his career.
Higher Learning. Learning.
Higher Rosewood, Higher Learning.
Baby,
Poetic Justice.
Baby
great
boy.
With Higher
Baby
Learning.
Boy.
Uh-huh. We were watching Cole Hauser on Dinner for Five last night, and it
Cole's
reminded
great,
me
man.
How great Higher Learning is. He's
yeah.
underrated.
It's a
Cole.
Very good. Yeah.
Cole's the guy you would do real well
totally.
With.
Totally. No, Cole and I were going to do something. It's Cole's had one of those star.
He's
cross,
a Patrick
like,
Wilson kind of guy, though, man, where
he
you
is,
could
like,
do something.
Yeah, but Patrick's got that. Patrick has
he,
this
he
great levity.
Factor.
He's
yeah.
got this great, you know, like, yeah. levity to him, and that's the difference, I think.
I think Patrick has an it factor. I remember when Patrick came out, at first there were people comparing him to a young Paul Newman.
Yeah.
And then that kind of went away because I
no,
think
I'll
no
tell
one's
you
a young anybody.
No, but you know what? There was moments in the A-team. I looked at him, the way we lit him. I was like,
that's
Christ,
true.
Patrick
that's
looks
true.
Just like Newman, man.
But
he
I
really
think
does.
It's unfair to say about anybody they're a young whoever because what happens is you obviously don't have the same personality.
Right.
You're obviously a different human being.
Right, it's silly to do
I
that.
I hate when people do that.
Well, remember how many years we dealt with? It's like Harold Miner, Baby Jordan. There was yep. always a guy.
And
right.
all it
you know,
does
there was
is
another
hurt
Michael
people.
Jordan.
Kwame
right.
Brown.
Penny Hardaway.
Kwame
you know,
Brown.
Like, yeah, there were always like another this guy
and
or another
way,
that guy.
And by the way, whenever you get compared to, oh, I'm a young whoever, it always
you're
ends
fucked.
Up hurting the guy.
No, you're right. Right, yeah.
And I think that hurt Patrick Wilson at first. Because when you say Paul Newman, and every movie he's putting out isn't The Towering Inferno or Hombre or Cool Hand Luke, then they're like, oh, well, we were wrong about that Paul Newman thing. But he never was Paul Newman,
no.
dude. He's his own
but
dude.
This is also, but you're also talking
don't...
about an era where they made films where you could make a couple of movies that completely tanked. It's like making an album.
Yeah.
It, you know, listen, if you sign James Taylor today or you sign one of these guys, wait, you know, it's like they wouldn't get a contract beyond the first album because it's
wait.
Like, well, it went in the toilet. We
but
can't do it
But star power isn't enough of them anymore, and I'm a blame the audience type of guy. People don't go to see the stars anymore. They go to see the effects. They go
right,
to
dude.
See violence, not nudity, which is baffling
right.
to me.
Right.
You
well,
know,
that's why we have one of the most puritanical countries. It's like we do not know how to deal with sex. And
no,
so therefore,
no, no.
we're in this weird way. We're de-sexing. It's like everything has to be like, you know, listen, it's like, you know, listen, I know more like fucking Audrey Bitoni. I know more porn stars than I know like it's like it, because
right.
that's where all that sexuality
well, a
is.
Bunch
like,
of, yeah. A bunch of college students came in and said, you know what? Management is sexier than literature, basically, so, you know. A business model.
A very good point,
a
Lee.
Business
yeah.
model is a lot more appealing to us than romance.
But you
I
know,
don't
brother, understand. You know why it is though? Because there's a communal aspect to that. You don't have to be an individual and land on that ideology. You can. That's a groupthink kind of a thing.
Yes.
It's like, right? Is everybody nodding in unison? Great.
Yeah,
I want to get back to this in a second, but I do want to once again promote The Gray comes out on Blu-ray today. If you buy The Gray on Blu-ray, it's a combo pack. You get the DVD, a digital copy. And then
I will send a wolf to your home
it.
To suck your dick.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen
yeah.
for you.
Joe will actually kill the wolf, too. I don't know. He'll kill the wolf, Gavin Pallone.
Exactly.
And on the bonus features,
he'll kill
you got
a
commentary with Joe. And
I got a commentary. I'll
out.
Tell you guys. You
tell
know,
me that's
thing.
Worth
Joe
the price.
I haven't even seen this.
Joe
this
will kill
the
wolf with
things.
A broken whiskey bottle.
Exactly. I have not. I wish we could have got someone.
We could
have
loaded
than,
it up.
We could have gotten Chris Parente. I mean, I'm glad that Chris got this quote, but we had better quotes.
You know, I got an idea for you, though. By the way, I got an idea for you. Even though you did a commentary for this. What we should do is we should get some of the guys together and do a commentary for the internet so
oh,
they
I
can play it with the movie.
Oh, shit, yeah, I do that.
So they could turn down the sound
and
then
and
listen
watch,
to you
listening.
And Dermot Mulroney. Well,
by the way,
and,
this is me.
By the way, another great character
me,
guy
oh,
now,
yeah,
Dermot
man.
Mulroney.
I love D.
He was great.
Yeah.
But
my buddy lives next door to him, Brett Cullen.
Really?
Brett Cullen, a great character
Brett
actor.
Cullen was in Faceless.
Love
I love
Brett.
Brett
Cullen.
Yeah.
Brett loves you, too. I talked to him about you the other day.
Brett played Sean Bean. Played Sean Bean before. Brett was Sean Bean's character before he was beaten almost within an inch of his life.
Really?
He was Sean Bean, yeah.
Oh,
Brett, by the
Brett.
Way, who's like a head taller than Sean Bean.
Yeah, Marlboro man, Brett Cullen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic. Brett is one of my favorite. If you're listening, Brett, you know I love you, buddy.
Brett's great.
You know I love you, brother.
Great,
I was over at his house. He lives next door to Dylan. And
there's a great old picture I was looking on the internet of Brett, like when he was younger, man. Marlboro Man City.
Yeah.
He's got his, he's smoking something.
Oh, yeah.
Either a cigarette or a field mouse. It's huge.
a field mouse. It's a field mouse.
Yeah.
It's a field mouse. Quaid probably took his cigarette and, you know,
right.
Dennis probably switched it up.
Got his hand
but
up.
I got to tell you, Dermot and Brett have the coolest, chillest pads I've ever seen, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, man.
So they're cool,
yeah,
chill dudes.
Yeah, no,
dude.
Great, man. He's,
yeah,
like
he's
one
a
of the,
singer, too, I didn't know, Dermot Mulroney.
He's got, what's his band? It's him and his brother. It's
Dermot
oh,
Mulroney
God.
Has a band.
And I
heard
I'm
about
so
this.
Pissed off that I'm not. It's like an angry name, and it's I should know it, and I don't.
So they do covers of something, right?
They or, do, but they do like they do like that Celtic
I don't know,
pissed
Brett
off.
Brett was telling
you know,
me.
We used yeah. to, you know, all of our ancestors were beheaded by Vikings, that kind of shit.
I was furious, Valhalla,
I was
yes. Pogues type thing.
I was smoking.
Angry Pogues.
I was
dude, like Pogues by way of like the Sex Pistols.
Right.
You know?
I was smoking up Brett's backyard, like smoking it up with cigars and cigarettes. And I'm like, oh, are your neighbors going to mind? And he goes, oh, no, that's Dermot Mulroney. He's fine. He's good.
Oh, he's
trust me, he smokes. He's good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
oh, yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. He smokes.
So he's fucking wild, man. That's great. I wanted to talk, but that's what I want to do. I want to promote the Gray. You do have a commentary on it.
I do.
It.
I was. I'm liquored up about an
I'll
hour
tell
and
you
that
who
thing.
We
I'm
should do the commentary with, and I'll hit him up this week when he gets back from Brazil. A guy who calls the movie a masterpiece wanted me to tell you this. He emailed me the other day just to tell me to tell you this. Rod Lurie says it's a masterpiece.
I love Rod.
He
man.
Loves you.
Yeah, he's a great filmmaker, man.
Rod's another buddy of ours.
And
which, by the way, if you,
I know
if
Rod
you, did,
would
if
do
you
that
didn't see Rod's film,
you.
The film he did with Kate Beckinsale, they
yeah.
got
nothing
robbed. It was the thing where she was the God damn it.
And she's a reporter.
She's a reporter.
Yeah,
she's
yeah,
the best.
It's based
fantastic.
Off the New York Times thing. I yes. saw it. I saw it. Nothing. I forget what it's called.
Nothing but the truth.
Nothing but the truth. That's it. Yeah.
I didn't see Rod's remake of Straw Dogs, which
it's
I wanted
really
to see.
Good.
Yeah.
The last 20 minutes will show you that Rod Lurie could take $100 million and make a huge action.
You know what I love about Ron? He's one of these guys who, like, everybody says, oh, you know what? You know, a critic. You just want to do it. And Rod's the guy who actually put his balls out there and say, you know what? I'm
right.
gonna go
his
do
own
it.
Money, his
I'm
own
go
time.
Do
it.
And his,
extraordinary.
And
you know his
politics.
Story, right? You
oh,
know
yeah,
about
man.
The
yeah.
short he made? Do you know who starred in his short
no.
that he did?
No.
Mike Finder.
You're kidding me.
He hit up Mike for a favor. He goes, will you do the short? Will you play me? He's basically playing Rod.
Right.
And Mike said they filmed in his radio studio.
Right.
And Mike basically played Rod. And they I think the short was about this woman calls and says she's going to kill herself on the air or something.
Holy shit.
And it's a short. And then Rod went and he got money then for Detonator. Not Detonator. That's
the
him.
Contender.
Leslie.
The Contender. The,
no, before the Contender. Though with Kevin Pollak.
Oh yeah. Oh, what the hell was the name of that film?
Oh,
I don't remember.
Bother me. But he made a film with Kevin Pollak. That's how I got the money for that. And then he
Detonator.
Got the Contender from it.
Detonator.
Well, because it's about a detonator.
That sounds like
though.
A Michael.
It's about
sounds,
the president putting his.
That sounds like
you know,
a Jeff Fahey.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Jeff Fahey title. From
it
like
was
93.
Actually a Wesley Snipes movie.
Really?
Detonator. Yeah. Yeah, it was a Wesley Snipes movie. I'm gonna look this up because we're doing Rod no justice
yeah,
right now.
No, I know.
We don't know the name of his Kate Beckinsale
world.
Movie. By the way, I'll watch anything Kate Beckinsale's in. Sorry,
oh,
Rod, but you didn't
man.
Need to direct that movie for me to see it.
She's beautiful.
A deterrent.
Deterrent. Okay.
Deterrent
that's
with
that's
Kevin
better
Pollak.
Than Detonator.
Yeah.
And then Nothing But the Truth. You were right about that.
Doesn't Pollak play the
fantastic.
President in that? I think he does
yeah.
play the president.
And
yeah.
he has his hand on the is he gonna nuke a
got
country?
Hand the button, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pollak as a president, and then he goes and makes a ballsier presidential casting move with Jeff Bridges in The Contender, and it paid off. He was fantastic.
When he does that thing
shark
with Slater,
sandwich
the shark
line.
Sandwich is great.
Yeah.
How great is that? Classic, right?
And by the way, you've got who I consider one of the three greatest working actors today, Gary Oldman.
Yep,
man, that,
Gary Oldman.
Oh, my God, man.
Gary Oldman, he's phenomenal, and Christian Slater's in it, and Joan Allen, of course,
yeah.
and Mike Binder's in
amazing.
That as well. And
amazing.
Yeah, and Mike called me before the show. He wanted me to tell you. He says hello. He loves you.
That's great.
Everyone
man.
Loves you.
I guess so.
Everyone
guess
loves you.
Grillo texted me yesterday. We might as well talk about this because it fucking blew my mind. I love
yeah.
it. Grillo texted me yesterday. He's like, I just got out of a 40-minute meeting with Scorsese, and The Gray is his favorite film
what?
Of the year.
Wow.
I'm like, what the
that's got to make me feel pretty good.
Well, I got a frame. But by the way, I have a framed letter from Scorsese at my house.
Frame it.
Talking about how much he loved Narc. And I was like, as soon as I got, I was like, oh, fuck that. I'm going to put
see,
it
I
up.
See, I fucking
man.
Love that he loved.
Yeah.
I love that he loved The Great.
I'm going to
be
like
let
James
me tell
Clinton.
You why else
frame
I'm
it.
Pumped. Fucking Frank Grillo's got a meeting with Marty fucking Scorsese.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that news,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, man. By
bad
the way,
news I'm pumped
by the way,
too.
Grillo right now is in Jordan. Doing the Catherine Bigelow thing.
Oh.
He's doing the Bin Laden.
Yeah, he's
film.
Just gonna work with everybody right now.
Yeah,
Catherine Bigelow. No, yeah. no big deal. He's just doing movies with everybody.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly. As he should, man.
As
he
should. He's fucking off.
Yeah. I wish I could tell you guys what's going on with him right now, but I can't.
Oh,
I'll be breaking
you.
A professional. It's so... Fuck, I wish I could tell you guys.
I got a 916 number here. Do you got a question for Joe? Hello? No? Oh, they hung up. I think they were embarrassed.
Okay.
I think they were just listening. Sometimes I get people that, like, listen to the show on their phone. It's weird. They're, like, not near a computer, and they want to hear it live,
and they wind up dialing in somehow?
Yeah, they dial in to listen to the show, and I don't have a screener, so I don't know the difference.
That's the way to do it.
Sometimes I'm embarrassed.
Let's, like, let it know. Let's let it rip, you know?
I got to tell you, Frank, yeah, he deserves everything that's coming to him, and I'm sure it's all good.
It's all good. You know what? The guy who's been working that hard.
He's John Cazale for this generation.
He is, man.
He reminds me of a young John Cazale. All right.
That's not a bad one. I know. I know it was you, Fredo.
Yeah, I
know it was you.
But so he's in Death Wish. Who else? Do you know yet?
I don't know yet.
Or do you know who you're thinking
about? I know who I'm thinking about, but I'll say it out loud.
You don't have to say out loud, but I just need to know if you know who you're thinking about.
Yeah, I know who I'm thinking
about. Do you
know
who you're writing for?
I never write for anyone. You know, like,
even in this situation where the studio hires you, pays you, you don't know.
I don't know. Like, I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, hopefully the best guy, you know, it's like, it always happens that way. The best person will invariably emerge.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's not the person you thought.
Yeah.
Right. But I've been really lucky. The one thing, there's a lot of things I do wrong, but one of the things I've been good with is casting. I've not had any bonehead, you know, I've been really lucky that way. So, whoever it is going to be great.
I'm sure.
You know,
I'm sure.
Really, it's going to be. If I can show you guys some of the pictures that we took, it's like, holy shit, man. I mean, it's LA. I've never seen
I'm
LA.
I'm sure.
Like this.
You're
it's
a busy
really
guy,
amazing.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah,
man.
You're a busy guy. I knew it was going to happen, too. When you were on, I told you you're going to open at 20 mil. Mm-hmm. I told you that was happening, brother.
Dude, if it happened, listen, I was so glad in a movie like this, which, by the way, dark, all male, no women, everybody fucking dies.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
That movie should not open a number
well,
one.
Well, your mom went to see it.
Yeah.
And she was texting you
during it. She has questions for you.
And she went
to see it. My mom has questions.
With all her lady friends.
Yeah, she took like 10 broads, old broads to go see the movie.
I love it.
Way to go, Joe.
Who all like, there is...
Because you know what happened, Joe? I call home like a moron, and I'm like, and this was before I even had you on. It was when I saw the screening. I'm like, Ma, you gotta see this fucking movie. I don't know why. I would never tell her that.
Right.
It wasn't a Shirley MacLaine movie. I could have told her to go home. So I don't know why I had to tell somebody how much I loved the movie. So I told my ma. So she got it in her head that this was gonna be great, and I think she thinks
like White Fang.
And Liam's her age, so maybe she thought Liam's sexy. So
he's
gonna take his shirt off or something.
Right. She goes to see this thing, man, and my mother was like, flipping out. She's texting me during the movie, and she's like, oh my god, I took all my
book club's here.
My bunko friends and
brother, by the way, I love it. It's like, it's such a Midwest thing, like, oh, we're playing bunko.
Yeah,
we're playing euchre.
Euchre, yeah, right. Canasta. I play in a canasta league on Monday.
And they all went to go see this movie, and I'm just imagining, oh my god, there's a bunch of 60-year-old broads sitting in this theater watching wolves eat up men alive.
Yes, right.
And then they get the ending they get. No, they're not going to like
this
movie.
No, they're not going to like that, Bill.
And my mom calls me, and she goes, I know you like this Joe guy you had on, and I know you like this movie, but me and my friends, I don't know, Matthew, I got to talk to this Joe Connor.
next time, I want to see The Vow.
Yeah. You know what? We should totally call my mom and see what questions
she has
for Joe.
Let's do it.
Okay, because I said I would do it when Frank was on.
No, let's call your mom.
Because she was, I think.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Call myself.
Six.
And give out my number on the air.
What's your mom's name?
Karen.
Let me say hello to her.
I think she might be a little intimidated now to reiterate her position about the gray
because she told me
Joe
she wanted to do it. She told Ted McGinley he's not that attractive. She calls in and says the most outlandish things sometimes. Except I have points.
By the way, she's a big hit with our fans.
Hello. Goodbye.
Oh.
Oh,
what happened?
Did my mother just hang up on me?
She's hung up on you.
I'm calling her again.
Hi, you've reached the Martisix. None of us can get to the phone right now, so please leave your name, number, and time of day that you called. We'll call you back as soon as we can. Thanks. Have a nice day.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Call back. Ma, did you really hang up on me? Seriously? Is that the move we're pulling here?
Karen, it's Joe Carnahan. I'd really like to speak to you. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I feel like it's me.
Did she really? Listening to the show, what you heard when I had to say.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Can we listen to the message, too?
I got to tell you, man, my mother is making me really angry now.
Maybe she had a bad day.
Maybe
she's
that.
Like,
yeah.
Then you called.
Maybe
and then...
she wants to call.
Please enjoy
second.
This Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up.
Hello.
Mom.
Dad? Yeah?
No, it's your son. Why'd you hang up on me?
It's in New York, New York, and nobody said anything when I said hello.
Mother, I'm sitting here with Joe Carnahan, director of The Gray. You had questions for him.
Oh. I don't think he wants my questions. Didn't I talk to you? Oh, no, I don't. No. That's not the same guy who wrote the story, is it? Or wrote the screenplay?
No, you talked to Ian Jack too, Ma, but...
Okay. All right, yeah, okay. Is he there?
Yeah.
I love when you put me on the spot, dear. It just kind of thrills me. Bethy Shosh, I'm on that show. Well... Do you want to call me back on the house phone so I can hear you better?
Yeah,
I promise.
On the house phone. Okay.
Okay.
Why is this so difficult?
I love it.
I don't
though,
know,
dude.
But
this is good radio.
Yeah,
bro.
This is great.
Yeah, but this is like totally Midwestern.
Hey, while we're doing this, how do I get a hot dog and another beer? Can I do that? I think I just exceeded the budget.
Break my bank. Break my bank. I'm only going to Vegas.
Right.
Hey, you're missing out. You should go to Vegas.
Hello? Hello? Matt?
Yeah, what? Ma?
I didn't hear you. I was just saying hello, hello. All right, so who are you talking to? Or am I going to talk to? Are you there? This is like the worst connection in the world, dear.
I got to tell you,
that's
this
good.
Broad put my ma, this broad.
Oh,
God, I'm dead.
she
put elevator music on. Okay, you know, we were better off with her cell phone.
Red
Solo.
Please
enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now, I really love how you're easy to stack.
I don't know.
Why does she make everything so difficult?
Okay.
Karen, if you can hear your son, would you call the show, please?
No, okay.
We're dying here.
Oh.
All right, you know what?
All right.
We're absolutely dying. Oh.
You know, I had so many other topics before my mother ruined my show.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Red Solo Cup.
Well, now what happened, Ma? Ma?
Hello?
Hola. She's got that Verizon network coverage.
I think she hates me secretly.
That's okay.
I think she don't like me. I don't think it has anything to do with Joe.
I don't think she hates you. I'm pretty sure she doesn't like you.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty sure.
To me, she's fairly.
You know, listen, this isn't done, but you know, this is the most interesting man in the world, this guy right here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Goldsmith, who is my video playback operator, that is his father. Jonathan Goldsmith is not a Cordoban Spaniard.
No.
That is
he's
a Jewish guy from New York.
He's an actor from New York. I read about him. Yes. He's an actor from New York. He's like my parents' age.
A Jewish guy from New York. How interesting.
He's doing the Lorenzo Lamas. He's going after Lorenzo Lamas.
But he has to basically play that guy at all times.
I know.
All right, let's try him out one more time.
It's a great ad campaign.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Red Solo Cup. I feel you.
Hello? Hello? Matt? I can't hear you if you're there.
Oh. Mom, are you there?
I'm here. Where are you?
Can you hear me and then not hear me?
I can't. No, I heard, are you there? That's all I heard. I think your phone lines are screwed up. Your other phone hung up on me when I... It said, thanks for calling Blog Talk Radio. Blog. Not blog. Blog. Are you there?
Karen, no.
Hello? Oh, this is just not working tonight, I can tell.
More disaster.
What, Matt? I can barely... Matt? Okay, I cannot hear either one of you guys.
I gotta hang up on her.
Right,
she's so annoying.
Okay. What's okay?
I kind of love that though, dude.
That was great.
She's so old.
That was like,
I love
you,
Mom.
Know those sketches in Saturday Night Live that had Adam
she
Sandler
just doesn't
and
know
the,
how
Denise,
anything
the
works.
Denise show? With those sketches with Adam Sandler and SNL, and afterwards, no matter how bad the segment one was, he would always go, "All right, that was great."
Yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Okay, well, my mom had questions for you.
Okay.
That was an interesting
but I bet
idea.
Would have been, you know what they would have been? They would have been penetrating and very and uncomfortable.
You know
and
what? I think that was deliberate.
Candid.
She was playing it a little close to the vest.
You know what? There is one more phone I could call in the house.
Okay.
I love it. Do it.
We'll see if this works. Last phone. This is the last chance
please
I'm giving.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
We're
6-3-0.
I told him to kill this segment.
My family's
I'm on
worthless.
Your side.
Well, he hates my mother,
well,
and you
Lee
hate
wanted
my
to punch
mother.
Out. He wanted to punch out.
Caesar hates my mother, and Lee actually wanted to wrestle her.
All right. Lee wanted out early, dude.
Oh.
All right, back all right. to all other right. things. Maybe
anyway.
My mom will call. Maybe she won't.
You know, listen, you have these moments. It's like you're on a roll. Then,
I miss
you know,
your mom.
What are you going to do?
You know what? I bet my fan base actually found that mildly amusing. Cause
I guarantee they did, dude.
My mother causing trouble
well,
on my show.
Well, that makes some people.
Person. So I don't remember all the questions, but I'm sure they were all good.
Yeah.
Joe is actually, and you know, Mike Binder did tell me yesterday, he goes, and would you make sure Joe eats a chili dog
I'm
from
doing
my
it right now.
Joint instead of going to Rockin' Riley's?
Oh, man.
Riley's got great food, too, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Riley's does.
It's good stuff.
I love Rockin' Riley's.
Lee and I went
Riley's.
Down to Riley's last
we were
time.
Down to Riley's.
I love
the drunken
oh,
nachos.
You mean the day I went to Comedy Central
yeah, you go, dude,
and
Comedy
bombed
Central.
So poorly
yeah.
that Gary Mann will never hire me ever.
Yeah, you bombed.
I told him I don't watch the network. I told him that.
There's being candid, bro, and then there's being dumb.
Well, I don't watch the network. I would be an honest.
You don't like Comedy Central at all?
No.
But you don't even
it's
watch.
It's not my cup of tea.
You don't even watch, like, South Park or The Daily
no.
Show. They're hit
I
shows.
I used to watch South Park, but it just kind of warped in for me. And
yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm too busy.
I like
I
Family
them,
Guy more than, like, Family Guy somehow watch.
Here's the thing. And you tell me if you've ever had a meeting like this. Because I had
oh,
Titus.
Oh, but I guarantee I've had.
I had Christopher Titus on last week, and he told me about his meeting at Fox he had where he bombed and. Here's the thing. I walked in there and I was just honest. I said, I don't have a lot of time to watch TV. You want to hire me as a writer and as an actor. So why would I have time to watch your television shows? I gotta keep working, man. I work. That's all I do. Work and play Max Payne 3, okay? And look,
and I watch Sports Occasion.
And Sports Center, yeah.
Right.
So here's the deal. I told them, I don't want your network, but I know what's going on here. I'm in the business. I get it. I know you want 14, 18-year-olds, and you want weed in your shows, and you just want, yeah, I know what you want.
Mumblecore.
And they claim they love me and everything. And then they had my ex-manager call me, and now I'm looking for new management.
Then they had Greta Gerwig come
in
the room.
And then my ex-manager tells me, yeah, they changed their mind. They don't love you so much. Straight up.
Are you shitting me? Dude? He said they changed their mind. They don't love you so much?
Yeah.
Did you fire him right there?
Yeah.
Dude?
Good
man.
Yeah. And so now I'm in this position
now, remember,
where I don't think Comedy Central. But they keep sending me all their people to come on the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember, these are all these stories. You have to have these stories. They're like the brick and mortar of one's career.
They want
things don't
to
go
take
exactly as the way you planned.
Right.
You know, it's like, if I showed you my career trajectory, you know, on a graph, it's like, you know, it looks like somebody with like palsy has been like,
the one spec I worked on with Mike Binder, Wingmen, they wanted me to turn it into a sitcom for them somehow to make it relatable to 14, 18-year-olds and involve marijuana.
Right.
I don't know if they read the feature.
So basically not write that show.
Yeah, I don't know if they read the feature, but that's not the movie.
No.
That's not the concept. And I don't really know how to rewrite that for the workaholics crowd. So,
nor should you, dude.
I don't know, man. No. I don't know. So, like, whatever. I mean, I have no hard feelings about it. They do their thing. I do mine. Whatever. Separate directions. There's
let me tell you, other companies tell me no. I've tanked pitches so thoroughly.
Yeah.
And so profoundly.
Yeah.
That's the reason I hate to pitch. I always tell people, it's like, listen, if you want to talk, I feel like I'm at a point in my career. You want to talk about making a movie, let's talk about making a fucking movie. But if you want me to come in there with my top hat and cane and dance around your office, you're out of your fucking mind.
That's how I felt. I don't know how to do that.
And you know what, dude? There's certain people, it's like they always talk about, like, Sean Penn, he can't audition. They always talk about he had the worst audition for Fast Times at Ridgemont High in the history of auditions. It's like his manager, I'm telling you, the guy gets on the set and he's amazing. He just doesn't audition well.
Yeah.
So, and there's always that, man. You know,
who were we hearing yesterday? His worst auditioner ever was from Star Wars.
Carrie Fisher.
No. But the old actor in Star Wars.
Alec Guinness,
worst auditioner ever. We were hearing.
Yeah, he's petrified.
Of all time, he'd throw up.
Yeah.
He'd be awful. And he was just a genius.
By the way, he worked with David Lean. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Right.
But no, I think it's like I remember going and pitching Bill Gerber, I think, who was running Village Roadshow. No, I think who was running Village Roadshow, and Jeff Robinoff, who's now the chairman. And it was literally the worst. I was sweating like I stole something.
Are you afraid? Were you afraid afterwards Robinoff would never talk to you again?
No, I just thought, you know, listen, no, I had early on a kind of contentious relationship with Robinoff. It's funny, I was going to do this thing with Lorenzo De Bonaventure, and I love Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Lorenzo's just a big, garrulous, funny, smart guy. And I remember asking Lorenzo, this is like not even that long ago, I said, dude, what was your perception of me when I was... And he said, we just all thought you were this really fucking angry guy. And I thought, I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, if you were married to my ex-wife, you'd be stupid. Back at you!
Yeah. You're like, angry? What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Mm-hmm. I love his Dice Clay impression, by the way. Speaking of going to Vegas this weekend.
I had to do it, man. We had to do a throwback. No, it's like, listen, I'm telling you, you have to have those moments because those moments make you better. Anybody that kind of breezes through it.
I've had a lot of them, though, brother.
Anybody that breezes through it, I feel like, you know, it's like when you get T-boned, if you've kind of floated through it, it's like my dad says, there's always friends you have. It's like my old man used to always say, it's like they fall into a barrel of shit and come out with a rose in their mouth.
Yeah.
If you're that guy too long, fate has a way of fucking you so uncannily and thoroughly. Like you're like, oh, God, like you spin out and you can't recover. So it's good to get these little dings along the way. You know,
you know
what I mean?
It
is, man. It is.
Well,
I really believe that.
You know what? It also got me to think that I am going, it's going to happen. There's going to be success. But I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to change for anybody. I'm not going to become, you know, what they want me to become or what they want me to write for them or act for them or whatever. And so I think I'm just confident to keep being myself. And sooner or later, someone's going to be like, you know what? I got to give this guy a shot. Someone's got to give this guy a shot.
Right. Absolutely.
He's working hard.
And you know, the other thing is, dude, it's like I was telling my son, My kid wants to, you know, going into film, and he's kind of, you know, scrambling to finish this big eighth grade project. And I'm giving him all this help, and I'm realizing, shit, it's like, kid, I'm spending more time on Final Cut Pro than you are. And I said to him, I said, if you can't do this kind of stuff, you know, if you don't like to go back and revise your work and stick with it, whatever, don't be a filmmaker, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, don't be a filmmaker. And don't, because you won't make it. It's like, if you don't have the willingness to kind of stay on that path. And listen, I graduated 258 out of 265 kids. I was basically retarded. I'm sorry, I don't mean anything against the retarded. You know, I'm not sorry. I'm just saying. I was
no,
an
you're
idiot.
Saying you're one of them anyway.
Yeah. Right. I was a moron. And if I didn't identify the thing that I wanted to do and march down that path, right? Yeah. I'm not blessed with all this. Like, I'm not blessed with, like, natural talent. I got to work my ass off, man. Yeah. I really believe that. It's like, this is what I've done, or what I've been able to do, is by attrition more than anything else, and hard work. Not because somebody blessed me with, like, oh, yeah, you can do all this shit. I had to break my ass. So I have great. So when you say that, dude, it's like, do not back off that stance one iota.
I got to tell you, the thing that sucks the most is, and hearing what you're saying is, I had this conversation with Binder last week, and I love him, and he like mentors me, and I love the guy. But he said to me, he goes, Maddie, you're young, you're 28, you got a degree, you could do anything. No, Mike, this is all I know how to do.
No.
This is it.
This is it.
This is it.
I can't
be a cop.
I can't picture myself doing other stuff.
I don't have a fallback.
I was a
class
clown.
I'm not prepared for a fallback. And the way I am built is, I don't want to do something I can't do 110%.
Mm-hmm.
With the knowledge and with the energy and the motivation,
right?
I need to know that I'm doing something I love doing.
Right. And you know what? I'll tell you this. Nobody ever got what they wanted out of this life working for somebody else. I'm sorry.
No.
They didn't.
No.
Nobody ever extracted the maximum they could from their time on this earth.
Well, nobody
doing
grows
someone
up,
else's bidding. You know what?
No one grows up and says, I want to work my whole life for some guy and make him money, and then I get to keep a little of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's like, listen, I'd rather fail spectacularly than succeed in a kind of an interim
me
way.
Too. Me too.
And I think that, listen, my career bears it out. I made some really listen, I quit Mission Impossible before I was going to be fired, but that's like that. But that was on me. And listen, they made a really good film.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just saw Mission Impossible 4. That was great.
It was the right thing for you, though. It was the
right
thing
for me,
you,
man.
Though, to leave the project.
Yeah.
You didn't.
What are
you
gonna do?
You didn't succumb to whatever bullshit you had to change who you are, to work with it.
I don't. You know what? Listen, I
and there's no hard feelings.
No, there's no hard feelings.
It is what it is.
And it's listen. At the end of the day, it was a business decision. It was a personal decision.
Yeah.
I made it. I have no regrets about making it. If people thought I got fired, what the fuck am I going
to
do?
I wanted to bring that up because I remember hearing about all that and everything. I remember what I said to my friend. And I go, it's one thing to have personal grudges, one-on-one grudges, because someone's talking shit about someone else. But no matter what you think of Joe Carnahan in this situation, no matter what you think of Joe Carnahan, period, if he does not want to shape himself to do what they want him to do on this film, you can't blame the guy. He look, there has to be some fucking integrity to still being a director and an artist.
Well,
I'm sorry.
This,
I know it sounds gay to say artist and whatever, but come on. There has to be a little.
If by gay,
no,
you
listen.
Mean very much resembling a homosexual.
Well, I do.
I'm not even going to touch that.
I'm teasing.
Brett Ratner got his ass handed to him for that.
Yeah,
right. No, listen, here's the thing. I know what you're saying. It's like there's the romantic party that feels like it's still alive and well. And what I would tell you is, listen, it all comes down to the individual. Where are you going to hold yourself and when? And that's all
it
comes down to.
But that's what I love about The Gray, man. It has that. It has that feel.
And brother, listen,
how you made it.
And at the same time, the flip side of that is, like I tell you, I almost went fucking broke. As much as the pedigree of the starving artist is very appealing to me, it's also not a possibility now. It's like, I'm about to do this movie for Fox right now, or potentially do this movie for Fox. I'm looking at going, and it's so funny, my wife said to me today, it's like, this is the movie where you go get paid. This is where you go make some money. This is what, you know, listen, I took a script that I thought was a really entertaining script, but wasn't going to work. And I'll be honest with you, man, I've been doing it this long. I've been writing 20 some odd years. It's like, I fucking knocked this thing. I knocked this thing's dick in the dirt. I know it's a really great script. I know it works. Right.
Yeah.
So then I have to look at myself and go, okay, are you ready to do this? Because the litany of shit that I can't do, like, all my friends have cool hobbies. They can play guitar. They can do all this great shit.
Right.
It's like, I can't. I can write and I can direct. That's what I can do. I'm basically a single-celled organism. But I broke my ass to get there. So do I feel a proprietary sense and do I feel confident when I say what I say? Fuck yeah, man, I earned it. You know, and I don't listen, and it's I'm far from perfect. I don't necessarily have the greatest ideas, but you know what? I know the guy in the room that does, and I'm always fully let me hear it, man. It's like that's the difference, and that's how you work.
I like
smart.
That about you. You're open to hearing things.
Yeah,
listen,
can't,
man.
It's such a collaborative thing
it
to
totally
make a movie.
Is,
you can't be that way.
I always say this, and I believe this in my core. I don't have some outsized ego or a large ego to speak of. The movie has a fucking all-consuming ego, and it will eat me, you, and everyone if you don't feed it constantly. Yeah. The way you feed it is by engendering it and constantly giving it and constantly nourishing it and constantly, like, throwing ideas in. And it's like coal in a fire. You have to.
Yeah.
And I think if you stop doing that, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I just don't want to work like that.
You end up with
that,
a
man.
Kate Hudson romantic comedy. That's
nothing wrong with that.
That's when you stop doing that.
Sonny, every time my kids see, we always call Matthew McConaughey Johnny McGillicuddy. It's like every time the kids see him, they go, Johnny McGillicuddy. It's like, but it's like, listen, but at the same time, it's like, McConaughey's laughing all the way in the bank, man. He's got a niche, and it's like he does his
thing. I do
thing
love
and,
him,
yeah,
though, man.
Yeah.
But you know what? No, he is laughing his way all to the bank, but it's just like what your wife say to you. This is the one where you go get paid. McConaughey does that. He goes to one and gets paid, and then he does Bernie. Goes to the one and gets paid, then he does Lincoln Lawyer, and he kills Lincoln Lawyer. What a
kills
great
it.
Movie.
Yeah, he's good.
Love that movie. Love that movie. He's electric.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. I get pumped about
but
that
listen,
fucking
I say,
movie.
When I go back to this, I say, when she says, this is when you go get paid. It's still R-rated.
Yep.
It's still...
But you still got you in it. It still is all you in it.
Yeah.
It's your
and
heart.
That,
it's your
listen,
soul.
You know what it is? It's like I would just... This particular...
You just got lucky and found a project that pays well.
No, but this particular project... Exactly. But this particular project, the difference is this particular project is like Smoking Aces with a heart and soul.
Wow.
And I take nothing away from Smoking Aces, but it's also... That was an exercise in style. This has this tremendous emotional core.
I'm telling you, though,
and
brother.
And that's the movie that, you know, and that's and it's interesting to me.
I'd still love to see you do a comedy again. I'd love.
This is it, dude.
I'm telling you.
This is, I think I talked about this before. This is like Groundhog Day as an action movie.
I love that
idea. And by the way,
idea.
I think it is 100 times the script that All You Need Is Kill is. I'm sorry. I've read All You Need Is Kill. God bless him. Fox got this thing for a song, and I rewrote it. It is infinitely better. Then All You Need Is Kill. Infinitely better. And
I
I'll
love
say
this
that.
Idea.
Yeah.
It's an action film meets Groundhog's Day, is what he's been saying.
Guy wakes up. Every morning the guy wakes up, some guy's trying to put a knife in his head, and there's a chick running out of his bed, and he doesn't know what's going
How
on.
How awesome is that?
It's great.
That's
yeah.
great.
But the way that it's like, but something like that, it's like, I have to start asking myself, okay, do you want to invest the time? Because you have X amount of years to work in this business, I always look at like Kubrick.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And I go. The guy had eight fucking masterpieces.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
The
it's
guy
like,
didn't care that it took him 10 years to make a movie.
That's true. But
I can't work like that. I wish I could.
Have you ever felt like okay? I love. We won't use continue as an example. Let's just some random movie. You get hired to do a movie, and then you're just like, you know, it's not all. I only get X amount of years to do these movies that I want to do. Like Pablo, you want to do so bad,
Pablo,
right?
Okay. Pablo's necessary. But I rewrote this thing called The Umbra.
That's
right?
Your legacy, Pablo.
Yeah,
That's
absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pablo's like the gray for me, you know. But I got hired to rewrite this thing, The Umbra.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy that owned the company saying to me, you know, we've never paid this much for a rewrite. And my response was, and I've never taken this little for a page one. Like,
yeah.
I had to go... you know, stem to stern on that entire script. And that was something I really dug, but I could not get myself there the way I can get myself there
now,
and continue.
Let's say you develop a movie that you're going to maybe direct, and it's not that there's anything wrong with it, it's good, but you decide there's something better that you need to jump on right now. Is there ways that maybe you would produce and have someone else you really like direct the film?
Sure.
Are you into that? Are you into that idea?
You know what? I'm into that. It's like it doesn't happen often enough because I think I'm...
Because that's a great way for you to bring talent, like great directors. Because I'm sure you know some great young directors.
You know what I do, but I think I'm so... Listen, it's the same thing. It's like I have such a narrow focus on what I'm doing.
Sure.
I wish I had that like Spielberging ability
to
go find Zemeckis, to go find, you know...
what everyone should do in their job.
But
yeah,
you know
like
what?
He knows what every job should do.
I got to tell you, Joe, I hear that. But at the same time, I feel this community and this business would be a lot better off if guys like you and guys like Mike and Rod, if you guys were finding the next Zemeckis.
Sure.
If you guys, I mean, I don't know if it really takes – as much time as you guys would think.
No, no, no,
man.
Listen, there's
stuff,
definitely listen.
Know?
There's guys like the kid that just came to work with me, Eric.
Yeah.
What I told him was, it's like, you work for me in this time frame, but I'm not grooming you to be an assistant. I'm grooming you to be a director. I'm grooming you to be a filmmaker. Yeah. I don't hire guys and they're my assistant for time. You know, Tunde, my first assistant, just did his second movie, and Evan just wrote his second script for five. So it's like, that's how you give it back, man. So when I say, like, you know, there's no one that you mentor, there's no one you kind of foster, so that's
well, then,
not
so
true.
You kind of are doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I mean, but again, and like,
you're being
Lou,
humble about it, is right. What you are.
No, but listen, it's like, at the same time, it's like, I wish I had the ability to be able to look at someone and go, that, you know, and then really, really nurture. But it's like, listen, I always feel like, shit, man, I barely have the time to do the stuff that I want to do and tell the stories.
Sure.
It's hard, man. You
know?
It
is.
It is. And it's like and there's a part of me that's, again, it's that same kind of like, myopic way of thinking where you're just like, wait, let me do this because I'm telling you I know how to do this. And it's probably annoying and a bit overly precious, but, you know, it's the way I am.
I got to tell you, too, I wanted to clear up on the show that thing I was talking about last night because a lot of people were curious about the Facebook thing. Yeah, look, here's the deal.
Man, you've had to explain your Facebook very much.
What happened with your Facebook?
So much. You know, I post something on Facebook, and for whatever reason, it causes the biggest shit storms in the littlest circles, and there's all of a sudden it goes from zero comments to like 102, and you're like fighting with somebody, whether it's about Obama, who, by the way, I like.
Right.
Or if it's about me personally, and the thing is, I'm going home June 1st. I'm bringing the show home.
You're going to Chicago. You're going back home.
I'm going home for a month or two. And the reason is, I haven't been able to find work out here. And I'm not giving up. And I'm planning on coming back. I'm keeping all my stuff here. It's going to be in storage. It's going to be whatever. And I have some very good leads, I feel, and stuff. But the thing is, I haven't seen my nephew yet. I've never met him. I want to see him. And the other thing is, I need a little re-energizing. And I really... I kind of am a little down, man, because I feel like I just need a small break. Because when I moved out here, man, I give everybody I meet out here, whether it's Mike or Rod or whoever we've had on the show, Brett Cullen, whatever, a Cindy Cohen. I love Cindy, and Cindy and I talk every day. I love her. Okay. I give them everything I got, man. And it's not because I'm expecting a job. And it's not because I'm expecting to go anywhere with it or whatever. Because I feel like that's how I was back home. I'm just a genuine dude. Look, there wasn't a day back home where I didn't hang out with my friends. Every day. Every day. Different friends. Different groups. All
different
the time.
Different groups of people.
I just like being a good dude. I like having a lot of friends. I like getting to know interesting people. I like having interesting people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like... At the same time, though, I wasn't expecting anything out of it at first. I kind of do. I want a job real bad.
Right. Yeah.
I want someone to show me the way, and I want to really make it out here, man.
Right.
I want it more than anything, and I think I'm smart, and I think I'm talented, and I know I've seen a lot of movies, and I know a lot of shit, man.
Yeah.
And I just need a little break, man, because I feel like this business is very self-centered.
It is. Incredibly so, dude.
I just want a little love back, man.
Yeah.
Just a little.
But I think here's the thing, man. I think I'll tell you this, though.
Killer.
You're going to go. Here's the thing. Here's my prediction. You're going to go home in June, right? You're going to have that fire that you have. It's real.
Yeah.
And I know that it's real, right? It will not abate in any fashion.
No, it's not going.
And when you come back, dude, you come back stronger and better, right? And you come back, you're a fucking dragon slayer. But you cannot, dude. Let me tell you something. As a guy who has no fucking business being in this business, and I mean that, I swear to God.
I don't think I do either.
I have great humility about it. I don't think I'm anybody. It's like, listen, anybody comes up to me and says I'm any different than I was when I was 20 years old, I'll fucking punch him in the mouth.
I know. Yeah. I haven't changed.
There's no part of me that's any different. I may be perceived as different. You may come at me as different, but I'm not any fucking different than I was. I got as much time for this guy that I don't play that
shit.
I just think it's the cheapest kind of like lamest. It's like this weightless bullshit electrical charge. It means nothing to anybody but the people that, you know. So you got to know that the frustration you feel and that quality where you feel like, what the fuck am I doing wrong, right? You got it. All you have to do, it's like putting it into a reactor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to make that shit fuel and not this expended energy that just you blow out into the world and does nothing for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to consolidate and become something very real. And listen, it sounds very rote and trite to say that, but that's
no,
bullshit,
but it's true. If it
you
were
know,
easy,
gotta,
it wouldn't be easy to
no,
sum
dude,
up.
Dude, nothing worth doing is ever fucking easy.
I know.
Nothing
right.
worth doing.
I know.
And I've got, listen, the first movie I made was $8,000. It took me 4 fucking years to make Narcos. Everybody thought, this guy makes some jerk-off $8,000 movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and it's like it took me years after that to make, because when I quit Mission Impossible 2, I thought, that's it. That's the end of your career. I did Smoking Aces. We hate that fucking movie. And it's like, I read shit about myself. I'm thinking, God, am I that big of a douchebag? It's like, is that possible? Because that's not how I view myself. So then when I did The Gray, everybody's like, oh, the guys, you know, he did this, you know, it's like, that was always who I was, man. You
right.
guys, it's like
right.
that's always who I was. You chose to be limiting yeah. in your view of me. But the thing is, dude, you're 28, bro. I'm 15 years older than you. I've been around a lot longer, right? You're gonna learn these lessons, and they are not, dude. There's nothing permanent about this. The only thing that should be permanent is your desire and your will to conquer.
Always
at all
will
costs.
Be.
That's
always
it,
will be.
Don't worry about it.
I had
that
conversation with him the other day. I said, this is the worst the movie business has ever been, ever.
Right.
Ever created.
But you know what
ever.
It is then, dude? You know
but
what it
I
is?
I looked at him and I go, it's going to get better.
And you know what? Everything has a renaissance. And you have to take it upon yourself. It's like, listen, you got a fucking problem with it. You soldier, you pick up a weapon, you do something about
right.
it. You know what I mean? You want to change it, then you become an active agent of that change. And again, these
right.
are not... I mean, guys, this shit's been happening for hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, it's just like,
yeah, right.
you know what I mean? Every great revolution, every
right.
great, the groundswell that's ever changed anything has always come from frustration, apathy, anxiety,
right.
anger. You know what I mean?
But that's why I wanted to comment on it, because I want people to know I'm coming back. This is just for me to go home, re-energize, write a little. I want to write in peace and quiet and not...
Well, listen, I just went
know.
Out to Josh. I just blew out. I went out to my buddy, Jake Scott, who's Ridley Scott's son, has a place in Joshua Tree. There's nothing special about it. It's an old turkey compound. It's an old
yeah.
turkey farm. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's no one around.
Sometimes you got to do that.
And you know what? I went out there and wrote my ass off, and I bombed out in the lowlands in Joshua Tree in the desert. It looks like fucking Road Warrior out there. And
yeah.
I just sat out there and looked and thought, this is the world, man. Like, this is like, we forget about all this shit.
Yeah, right.
Because we come back here and your cell phone's up your ass and everybody's calling you. Everybody's, you know, got, where's my car keys? Where's this? Where's that?
We
went
out to the
you
beach
know.
That one night. We're by that restaurant where we went to see what's his name's band, Chris Mulkey's band. And
yeah.
We're like, man, this is great. There's like sand with water along. I got to do this.
I love
what
Chris
makes
can't,
me,
you
yeah.
can't,
makes
the
me
thing
write
is,
better.
I'm telling you, and I tell you this, and I tell this to you, too. It's like we become inured to what life in L.A. is about. And when you step out of it for any length of time, you go, motherfucker, there's a whole other pulse
right.
and a whole other world out here that I'm denying myself because I can't pull myself away from. It's like, you know, James Ore has this great line about we all migrate to
great
suck
writer.
The poison cock of the entertainment business.
Right.
I think that's true. It's like we just, but dude, you can't, bro, you cannot. The worst thing you can be is, the worst thing you can do is calcify and become apathetic
right.
toward this. That's the worst thing.
Right.
Don't ever fucking do that. You know, it's like, I have a friend of mine, Nick Fenske, who's going to be 50, right?
Yeah.
I've known this guy for 25 years. He has never once, his enthusiasm has never waned for how bad he wants to be an actor. And I'm telling you, I marvel at this fucking guy. I marvel at this guy's like resilience and his ability to be like, God damn, he just will not. There's not one scintilla of him that's ever let up. He's just full throttle all the time. And I love it. You know what? It's inspiring to me. And I'm determined now to put that guy in something. And to you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
he has busted his ass and never asked me. I've been his friend for 20 plus years. Never one time asked me, can I have a part? Can I do this? Can I do it? Ever.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I'm going to give him. Now I'm going to reward. You know,
yeah.
it's like I feel just as I feel the universe, you know, like I got to reward this guy because that's me. That's me doing a truly good thing. Like, help this guy out because
right.
he's, goddamn it, he's earned it 10 times over. He's
and
earned
you have
it.
To
I agree.
Earn it.
And I think it's going to happen, and I think that's coming, man. But, you know, and the other reason I bring all this up, and I'm glad you talk about this, Joe, is for everyone listening to the show that really wants to do something, you know, you don't give up on it.
Ever.
But,
ever, man.
But it is okay to go take a month
yes,
and
is.
Re-energize yourself because we know how much you – if you don't admit that you have to re-energize yourself when you love something as much as you love this business, you're foolish.
You
don't
love
it. You don't love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't love
you
it.
Are. No,
everyone
you don't love it.
Everyone needs to re-energize.
Listen, you have to. You can never stop living your life, and you can never buy into this idea that well, if I go away, then LA's going to go away. No, it's not. It's going to be here. And you know what? The hurdles remain the same, and they're going to be just as high as they were when you left. and you're going to have to come back and you're going to have to run that course. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It's like my old man has this, and I've never forgotten this. My old man always says, no hill for a climber. Climber doesn't recognize elevation. They just do their thing. You know, they just climb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And that's what it'll come down to. And so, you know, everybody that's listening to this, it's like, I swear to Christ, if I can make in this business, if it's possible for a douchebag, you know, like C-minus student coming out of a jerkwater like high school in Northern California to make it in this business through sheer hard work and perseverance and dedication and commitment and never forgetting and always eyes on the prize, I think it limits you as a human being. You don't have all these cool things you can do. However, in my case, because I'm not the smartest guy on the planet, it was – that's what I needed to do. And whatever that is, identify what you need. I'll never forget, man. I was 19 years old. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, bro, you're not good looking enough to be a movie star. You're not smart enough to be a stockbroker. You better figure out what you can do right now and do it like there's – and that's it. You become that guy. If you're going to be a – you're going to master the 440, that's all you do is run the 440. Yeah. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's the thing to keep – you know. And if you know it in your heart of hearts – and I always knew this. I always knew that this was going to – because I was going to will myself there. That's what will happen. And I swear to God, it sounds very Tony Robbins, but it's not.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I've been thinking too. You know, I had this idea the other day. You know what we should really do? Like, if you're someone that wants to do something, think outside of the box too. I mean, I know Favreau and the boys, they used to read swingers on stages to get money. And they knew all their lines for swingers when they were filming, like, 3 years in advance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, like, so I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking to myself, geez, maybe if I want to act so bad and you know, everyone's like, yeah, we want to help you out. We want to help you out. But no one's really doing it. Maybe I need to go rent out a theater and do an American Buffalo one night. Maybe,
why not?
I mean, I don't know, man, because obviously you got to push the limits, too.
Right.
Sure you do.
You've got to let people know you're serious.
Right.
You really do. And I think that's very important. And I got to tell you, I think this is a great conversation to talk about when we're talking about The Gray and The Gray that's being released today, because that movie's all about perseverance.
Yeah.
And it's all about – it is all about – no, but it is.
Yeah.
It's all about persistence, survival, and it really relates to Hollywood. Hollywood's
absolutely
a pack
man.
Of wolves,
it
man.
It is, man. It is. And they're hunting you, and they will devour you.
It's
and like,
true.
Never forget the greatest – like the great quote about this industry, among a lot of great quotes, but one of my favorites is, you know, Jeffrey Katzenberg said years ago, in this business, people live to see you fail, and if you die in the process, it's that much better. I mean,
that's
think about that. Think
them,
about
yeah.
that. Like, think about, like, that as a, like, in what other business do these people live to tear you down? You know,
right.
It's like, they love to build you up, they love to tear you down, and I'm telling you, you have to absent yourself from that. You have to not think about that. You have to do your own thing,
yep.
whatever it may be, and follow that path and let the world come to you. You know what
yeah,
I mean? And
right.
that's the thing to do. It's like, and not to worry about, you know, why am I not this? Why am I not that? It's like, you know, consider what you're doing right now. And listen, dude, you've got this show. I'm
oh,
on
sure.
this show.
Sure.
You've got great guests on this
yeah.
show.
Bill right? Rosenthal tomorrow.
You have this tremendous, like, venue to do this. It's like, you
yeah.
are not, like, you're not some, you know, you're not some poor bastard working up the street at Mel's busting tables.
No, but
you
I had
to
con
mean?
My way into all this.
Doesn't matter, but bro,
yeah.
that's
you know
what I'm saying.
I really did.
You then you know what? It's then make it the long con and keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
you know
by
what?
The way, bro, everything's
and by
a fucking con.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in like I'm an evil manipulator kind of way.
No, but you mean like when we go
we've
to
talked about
when
this.
We go to screenings and we're
like
what the
I
fuck
don't,
are we doing?
I don't
here?
Deserve to be here.
How
I
did
must
we get
have
here?
Conned my way in.
Bro,
that's
I feel,
right.
I feel like that every day in my life. It's like I honestly do. It's like I feel like. You know, it's like, who let me in here? I'm
one
here,
big con job.
And that's fine because
you know
what?
We watch
but by the way, bro,
you,
if
who
I,
let
if,
me in here? I'm going to eat all the free food.
I'm going to eat all the pasta before Max Payne 3.
Before, yeah.
Joe, I'm so grateful you came and did the show again.
I'm sorry, man. I couldn't make it yesterday, man. I
don't worry about it.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
I was glad to do it
today. I rescheduled for Joe Carnahan.
That's my man.
I'm telling you, though, there have been some people I don't schedule.
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to lie.
What'd you look at me for? What'd you
I'm
say
a,
that
I'm
for?
Very,
what the hell's that?
No,
about?
It's just, you know, I'm kind of just dealing with the fact that I don't have a filter, and I think I've made a lot of enemies.
No, dude.
You'll
no,
make you'll
thing,
make
man.
Friends doing that, too.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's what Cindy always says.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I got to tell you, and, you know, Joe, everyone loves you, man. I got to tell you.
That's great, bro. I'm glad, man.
You know? You're a humble guy. I know you don't need to hear this kind of stuff, but. Dude, when I talk to Rod Lurie, when I talk to Mike Binder, when I talk to Cindy Cowan, Well, they all love
her. I
that.
Love Susan. She's great, man.
She's great.
She's the best.
She's great. She's smoking hot. She's fun.
She's like a hot, yeah.
She's fun.
Yeah.
She talks
to
great,
man.
She gossips. I love it.
Yeah,
I love
she's
it.
Fantastic.
I can hang out with her any day.
I love
Tiny
her.
Tiny Lister loves you. Like, bro,
I met Tiny Lister. He saw The Gray, and I don't know where I was. He was so like wonderfully effusive and fantastic. Like,
yeah.
It was great. Man.
Tell Joe Carnahan, sleep with his lights on.
Exactly.
Because Zeus is coming to get you.
Is that what he said?
No. That's my Tiny Lister.
That's good.
That's pretty good, dude.
From your days as a wrestling promoter.
That is pretty good.
I love Tiny. Tiny and I have become friends. Like, legitimate. We don't want nothing out of each other. We just hang out and shit.
I gotta tell you,
he'll call me up and be like, "Bert, what are you doing?" "Enough, Tiny. What's up?" "We're gonna see this Hunger Games. I don't know what it's about, but I hear it meant a lot of money."
You're kidding me.
"I gotta see this Hunger Games."
That is great. That is great, dude.
All right, Tiny.
Let's go.
Let's go see the fucking Hunger Games.
Bro, that's
game.
A duo I want to see out in public right now.
Yeah, right.
You and Tiny Tim Lister.
There's a picture. Yeah, there's a picture of Tiny choking Matt and Matt.
Tiny and I went out one night. And he just started choking me both hands.
That's pretty intimidating, dude.
Dude.
Those hands are gigantic.
His
hands
fit around Matt's neck. Matt's neck.
I'm going to tell you something that's straight up the truth. Tiny Lister, brother,
can't really see.
Is a good actor.
Yeah,
it's no joke.
He is.
It's no joke. He's
not
the
president
gimmick.
In the Fifth Element.
Right.
Come on, man.
It's no gimmick, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big dude. And yeah, he's Tiny Lister, but he can act.
Yeah.
He really can. That guy will blow your
fucking mind.
He's
good,
man.
No, I know. Yeah, absolutely, man. I don't think he gets enough. You know, he doesn't give credit because he's a big, muscled out guy, but
yeah,
he is, man. He is.
I mean, he's someone, an action movie wise, if you can get Tiny. And I got to tell you, when I go out with Tiny, the universe knows Tiny.
Bro, everybody knows
he's
him.
He's a superstar.
Bro, everybody knows Tiny.
He's a superstar.
Everybody knows him.
Kids want to take pictures with him. I don't
know
how these 8-year-olds
know
who
know
he
him?
Is. I don't know.
They see Friday when they're 3 years old. Yeah.
You know what? This one girl came here when he was doing the show with me, and she knew him because he does some, like, Disney cartoon.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, whatever.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. He's like, "Come over to my house. Let's watch cartoons with my daughter. I ain't got shit to do."
I love that, dude.
Yeah,
I know.
That's all he does.
I got shit to do.
Yeah.
Let's go see the Hunger Games.
The baseball game.
I love
Tiny.
I
can see Tiny and Joe hanging out. That's the duo.
We got to make that happen.
Blow the roof off of there.
Bro.
We got to make that happen. We got to get 12 mics in here and just bring everybody
in. Right, bring everybody
dude.
In.
Oh, that's what I want to do, too. You know, I've been watching all this party, Dinner for Five shit.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I got to get a hold of Favreau. Because he's
not
going to do
it
anymore.
Ones? Are these the old ones?
No,
the old
ones.
The old ones.
Favreau, give me the fucking show, man. Hand me the reins. I'll do you justice.
Dude, you would. You do a great, you know.
We sometimes do round tables in here. We'll get multiple people in. And we do, and it's really great.
Yeah.
And
you make us possible, you use the sherry, bro. You'd use the sherry. That's
use the sherry.
Yeah, use the
you
sherry.
Take Gino's advice. And you use higher quality
but
ingredients.
That show was a little bit before your rise, and you would have been great on that show.
We had fun on that show, but dude, he used to have great guests.
You
on
would have been killing.
Yeah, he did.
So yeah, Fav. He had good guests.
That's
on that
the
show.
First season. First season, he kind of had to work it.
Yeah,
it's once
right.
The show got picked up,
but
got
you know
the great guests.
At the same time, it's
that's
like
with
at
everything.
The same time, like you know, I was watching IFC. IFC is not the IFC it was 10 years ago, man.
No,
it's not the independent film channel. I hate to say that because like Jonathan Sarah and Caroline Kaplan, they basically. They basically backed my first movie, Back Blood Guts, but that was it was I don't know that IFC now. It's like it's just a different
These things are always changing.
I saw Die Hard with a Vengeance. I'm like, what the fuck is this doing on
Dan
IFC?
Pasternak now runs IFC, and Dan Pasternak's a buddy of mine. And Dan's coming on the show in a little bit, and I'm gonna ask him.
Just ask him.
I
would like to know
about.
What the fuck happened to IFC.
I want to ask him about it because
you still watch like Harmony Korine films.
You're right. It's not independent film channel anymore. They got TV shows. They got sitcoms. They got pilots.
But by the way, neither's Bravo. I remember watching Mikey and Nikki,
God.
John Cassavetes, Peter Falk on Bravo
yeah.
8 years ago.
When Bravo was an acting
20
channel.
Years ago.
Do you remember
acting
AMC
channel.
When they showed actual American movie classics like Call Northside 777 with Jimmy Stewart?
Right.
Andy,
and the Stooges.
Winchester 73. Yeah.
Winchester 73.
Andy Cohen was on Stern. We got to wrap up. I want to get this out. Andy Cohen was on Stern the other day, and he runs Bravo. And he flat out said.
I love Andy Cohen, man, I got to say.
And he flat out said, he's like, I went there, I wanted to make a logo. I didn't give a shit what they were before.
Oh.
So he knew, man. He wanted to make it gay.
And he made a logo.
And I don't mean gay in a bad way. I
no.
mean he wanted
no,
to make
but
it gay.
I love Andy Cohen.
You wanted Bob Green
blam
it up.
My wife got me you know, hooked on all those fucking Housewives shows.
Oh, yeah. Housewives. Yeah,
Millionaire Matchmaker, all that
you
shit.
You watch New Jersey Housewives?
Oh, are you kidding me,
Teresa?
Dude? Oh, she's Woo! A train wreck. I love it. Teresa Giudice. And I love like the guy's like he's got like a walnut rattling around in that skull. I mean, the guy's like a moron. You know,
I feel so bad for him though. He's got to have ulcers and shit. He's got to be nuts.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he looks like if Sammy the Bull Gravano had like a retarded half brother. That's like. That.
All right. The Gray is on Blu-ray today. It is Liam Neeson's best work. I love it. It's
Thanks,
Frank Grillo is a breakout star from this thing.
I think so too.
Joe Carnahan kills this movie. Just. Did it so well, wrote it with Ian Jeffers so well. I'm so proud of you, brother.
Thanks,
I'm so dude. Glad through this show we get to meet and somewhat be friends because I find you to be, like I've said, one of the last Maverick Studio guys, and I think,
well, I really appreciate that.
I think
and
you're
I'll tell
amazing.
You what, Matt, if I wind up doing this movie for Fox, I'm going to put you in this film. That's my word to you. I'm going to put you somewhere in this movie.
All right, I love
Matthew
you.
Matthew Aaron will get his role.
I love you, but I got to tell you something.
You're
going to
be
brother.
Wearing a lot of squibs.
I got to tell you something, brother, and this is the this is the truth.
No, Lee's going to be wearing the squibs. You're
this
gonna
is the
right.
truth. As long as I could just learn from you, I would never ask you for anything.
I know, brother. But dude, listen,
all
like
I said,
here's the thing. I think the parting shot as we go away, I think it's really important that based on what you're saying, because I found that what you said earlier, wonderfully open. Don't ever change that, dude. That's why I come on here. That's why people listen to this show. I think that's wonderful, man.
Thank you. All right, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Phil Rosenthal, the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, my good buddy
Bye,
Phil, coming in.
Joe Carnahan, gray DVD,
thanks, guys.
DVD and Blu-ray is out.
We'll see you tomorrow.